Sakura, Sky, and Loki.
This week, No Man's Sky's first landing was more of a thud than a splash, but the waves made over time have become more impressive, all without any post-purchase monetization to this day. This is just one three-year survival story. Stay tuned for the rest of the week's gaming news, starting right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet, and welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio, live tonight with episode number 800. That's right, 800. Finally an 8 in front of all those numbers. For tonight, December the 1st of 2019, my name is Rob Roberts, and joining me in studio, as she has for the last 800 weeks, give or take a few, say hello to Dark Sakura or Jamie Summers.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm a little under, but I'm okay.
Yeah, yeah. You have sounded a little bit sick tonight, so sorry to hear that. But respectfully, don't get me sick.
No, I'm over here. I'm wearing half my pajamas.
Uh-huh.
I found in digging through the closet the hoodie that I bought at the Skywalker Ranch before episode 3 came out.
Uh-huh.
And it's an episode 3 hoodie.
Yeah.
And I'm never getting rid of it, even though it's like 5 sizes too big for me now. Because, number one, it's warm, and number two, I bought it at the fucking Skywalker Ranch.
Well, and being bigger is not always necessarily, like, a bad thing. That just I'll makes it, like, comfy, cam, like, loungewear. You're going to show – wow, I didn't think you would show on cam. Since we do tape live every Sunday night at twitch.tv/VOG Network, the Voice of Geeks Network, VOG Network. We are, of course, live right after the Bobby Blackwolf show at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern. Not only are we celebrating really 800 episodes of Orange Lounge Radio, but this month, I mean, give or take a couple weeks, 1 year on Twitch, actually. So, yay.
For the record, my wearing of this is in no way an endorsement of the film.
Yeah, understandable. Quite understandable. Also joining us tonight, say hello to Techmaster Loki.
Hello.
Hi, Loki. How are you?
I'm fine.
Yeah? All right. Yeah, it's fine. So Mr. Smush is wanting his big
execute, you know.
Oh, he. I don't know what it is about the three of us starting to talk that all of a sudden like wakes him up. That he's just like, I want to be in there. I want to. But I mean, he could. He's welcome.
Just channeling Jerry Blank.
He's welcome.
I have something to say.
He's welcome to come in here. The viewers love it. Did he really? He saw Jamie coming and he walked right into Kitty Jail. I love it. Anyway, how are you, Techmaster Loki?
Also I'm fine.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah? Just fine?
Yeah, I'm just fine.
You were talking about... Okay,
I fell down earlier.
Okay, yeah. She's sick. You injured yourself.
It's just a minor injury.
It's only a flesh wound.
Pretty much, yeah. It's only a flesh wound.
Okay, what happened? We all want
to
know.
Oh, my kids wanted me to take them to roller skating. So they went roller skating, and I used to rollerblade like a ton, like all the time. And the last time we went rollerblading, which was not that long ago, one of my straps on my blades broke, so I had to rent a pair today. And so they had like a speed skating session, which I like doing. That's fun. So I tried to go around the corner. You know, I usually crisscross to kind of go faster over around the corners. And because their profile on the wheels is different than what I'm used to, it slipped. And so I hit the ground on my knee, rolled to my elbow, and then got back up. So it scraped it a little bit, but it's like, I'm like, ow. But I'm going to get back up and just keep going. I mean, it's not like I broke my leg or something.
Congrats, you're old.
It's not old. This is what I used to do like all the time. I've gotten this injury so many times. At least it was in a rink and not on like asphalt, which is typically the case.
True.
Oh, my God. I have a sun bleach spot on the sweater.
Oh, well. Well, you've had it a while. Episode 3 was out. So, you know, episode 9 is coming out soon. I was at the movies yesterday. We will get into gamings, but it just wouldn't be an episode of Orange Lounge Radio if there weren't tangents.
You know, no, it's funny, though. When we were in the rink, sorry.
Now a tangent to the tangent.
No, remember, because we had talked about, like, we should do something, like stupid for, like, one of these, like, big, like, numbered episodes or something. And I was, like, suggesting, like, hey, we could rent out the roller rink because that's dirt cheap.
Uh-huh.
And so I thought about that again.
Oh, OLR Live on roller skates? That's
yeah.
A great idea.
I would do it.
Why? Here's the thing. Let me loan you some sage advice for having done this for 800 episodes. Why do we have to do it for 800 episodes? Why can't we celebrate 823? Like
we can do whatever we want.
Every episode should be celebrated. Every OLR is a blessing. Every week we don't kill each other is a success story, is it not?
It's a toll-free episode.
Anyway, what was my? Oh yes, I went to the movies. I went to see Knives Out, which you know.
I want to see that because it's like Clue. Like Clue Dark.
A lot of my friends really loved it. I liked it. I didn't love it, but I liked it. And I don't know if it was really Clue. I don't know if you can be Clue when you reference Clue in the film. However, it did have Jamie Lee Curtis, who's a gamer. We all know that, right? And she was great. There just wasn't enough of her. Like, I think there was a lot of people in it where it was like, you hardly got to see them. But anyway, that's all I'll say. I don't want to spoil too much anyway. So anyway, I also want to say I am looking at chat because, again, we tape live over at Twitch.tv/VOG Network. And you guys are really donating bitties tonight, and I see you guys doing that. I don't usually call out all the bit donations because they go across the bottom. But I will at the end of the show when we're not recording for the podcast. But I see several of you are doing 800 bitties for 800 episodes, and I know that's no small amount of bitties. So I really want to just acknowledge that and say thank you. That is very, very kind. And you know, we wanted to at the top of the show here, you know, even if we've done 500 episodes and 200 episodes and 700 episodes and we've done 10 years and 12 years and so forth, I didn't want to toot our own horn too much, but I did want to take this opportunity at the top of the show to just say thanks. I mean, you guys are truly what keeps this going, gives us that energy to do this show every week, even when maybe we're feeling a little sick or we've injured ourselves earlier in the day and maybe we don't necessarily always feel like coming in, showing up to doing it. It's like by the time we're here and you guys are here and interacting with it and bringing that enthusiasm that you guys do, it really means a lot. And obviously, if we haven't broken it big by now, 800 episodes and 17 years in, we're probably not going to. But I think we all made peace with that a long time ago. And still, even with our small audience, we have a very loyal and great little family here. And that's okay. I like small families. When I used to go to the extended family for holidays, that's when all the messes happen. That's when all the drama and political start. Small family gatherings, awesome. So we like the small family that we have here. And I still, you know, this show has afforded us many opportunities still, even with its, you know, smaller size than I think I would have ever gotten otherwise. We were just talking about on Bobby's show before we went live tonight, a cameo that we had in a video game. Like, that would have never happened if it wasn't for this show. We got to go to E3 back when it was cool, like in its most heyday years, you know. Yeah. That was something because of this show that, you know, we got to do. And there's been other industry events. I have been an acknowledged professional at a very large convention every year for the past couple of years. That is an amazing feat that I'm so thankful and humble for with this show. So thank you guys so much for showing up every week and giving us that motivation we need to keep doing this show every single week. Thank you. And Swang Tong gave a donation and said, happy 800. That's all I got. That's okay. You know, the bits are an extra thank you. We never expect them, but they are very, very much appreciated and help us to keep VOG Network as a business and do businessy type of things that we do want to continue to expand on. Swang Tong said you were on TV. That's true. We the news.
Thank you for reminding me.
Yeah, there was a couple times.
And in the newspaper, which I still have that somewhere.
Yep, we were.
Had it. It's really yellowed though.
Well, yeah, it was early on in the life of the show when we were in the newspaper, because that was right when podcasting first broke. And if you searched for like Sacramento in iTunes, you got us. Like, there wasn't, you know, now there's probably shows about Sacramento in there, and you know, there's other. That Sacramento has a number one gaming podcast now that comes up in the results and all this other stuff that wasn't there back when we started. We were what came up. So the newspaper came out to do that. And then the news station came out and did one story at my place about podcasting.
Yeah.
But then what was really cool is that they remembered us or something, because when Guitar Hero came out, the first one, I wasn't there. It was just you and Loki. So,
and it made me hide all my Bimani stuff.
Oh, yeah. Oh, because the Guitar Hero guy, the like PR guy for Red, was it Red Octane at the time still? Went as well to like, he gave you guys a personal demo of the game.
We had all the fun with it.
Yeah. Oh, it was cool. It was very, very, very cool. Appreciate that.
And we had that nice big TV in the living room at the house in It was a few houses ago for me.
Yeah.
But you know that house.
Oh, no, I do. Yeah. I do.
It's nice and shiny in there.
And SS200 Matt in chat says, it's so much fun. Yeah, that's where that quote came from. It's still on YouTube. There's an Orange Lounge Radio YouTube channel, and you can still see that old story. It's an old story at this point. Like, yeah. What, my God, how many years ago did Dave Walker retire? And he's the one doing the the news anchor thing. Introducing the story.
I don't know.
Also, here's the other interesting thing about that story. They never name our show. They never say,
because they're assholes.
I don't know if it's because they can't endorse it or whatever, but they never name our show. To be fair, they also say at one point in the news story, Governor Schwarzenegger just started a podcast, because, again, it's that old. So they said Governor Schwarzenegger started a podcast, but they never named that program either. Because remember, they had the kid on the skateboard?
Yeah.
I was like, podcast listener.
Anyway. You, young person, do you know what podcasts are? Why, yes, sir, I do.
It's funny that it made us such a niche thing back then, and now it's like, now podcasting is that stereotype thing where it's like, you know, you've all heard those jokes, and I hate
Why don't you have a podcast yet?
I hate these jokes, but I hate them, but you've all heard them. The one, you know, what do you call three white dudes in their 30s in the basement, a podcast, you know, that whole thing. And I'm just like, no, podcast, I don't like that joke, because I really, really want podcasting to be for everybody.
I've never heard that one.
Yeah, I have. It's stupid. I've seen it on Twitter. I've seen a lot of really dumb podcast jokes on Twitter. And I that's one thing that like really irks me, is that podcasting is like, because I think those jokes reinforce that it's only for one particular audience, when it really isn't. It's really for everybody. Like, everybody should be able to get their voice out there and be heard. And it's not just podcasting, because now we live in this era of YouTube, as much as I don't like YouTube as a business, and Twitch, where, you know, you can get on and have your own streams and stuff. It's really, really easy to have your voice heard when, you know, again, back in 2006, when these news stations featured us, it was a little bit more of a novelty, wasn't it? Anyway. All right. Anyhow, sorry. It was a little bit of a tangent, but we wanted to say something here at the top of the show for episode number 800. So again, thank you all for being with us. Let's get into some video game news, because I know that's what we're really about here at the show. What?
I was watching the video and my DDR pads are in the background.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That was pretty funny.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, my gosh, Matt, you look so young.
All right. Anyway, let's get into our kickoff topic tonight, which has to do with Pokemans. So, Loki, you want to start us off here with this kickoff topic about what's going on with the Pokemon company?
So, apparently,
are they going to arrest you?
They're going to come and find you. They have a specific set of skills that they're going to use to find you and kill you or something. But anyways, so yes, apparently the Pokemon company hired some outside forensic experts who are trying to locate, I guess, some people that leaked information about Pokemon. So they had been able to identify 4 Discord users, one who was the source and a few others that were helping him spread the images through 4chan and Reddit. And then with that, of course, since they found their usernames, they don't know who those people are. So now they've gone to the district court in Seattle to try to get a hold of that information from Discord and 4chan to try to track down who the people are under those usernames. So that's interesting. I don't know if this has been done. But is it really a crime to leak information about something? I mean, if you're not under an NDA and somehow you came across that information, is that really a crime?
Well, that's the problem, is that somewhere along the line an NDA had to be broken. Like, if I just happenstance accidentally came across something, then somebody still broke an NDA to get the game early.
But then that person would be in trouble. But, like, exactly.
How do you find that out?
But say I broke an NDA, but they know one person. But, like, say I broke an NDA and gave information to somebody else, and then that person then spread the information out, but now you're hunting after this person. That doesn't make any sense to me, because it's not a crime. It's an inconvenience for your marketing campaign, but it's not a crime.
It's not a crime as in you can't go to jail per se, but they would have a case in civil court. And I think I kind of think they have a right to protect themselves in that capacity, because, you know, it's just like if the new Star Wars movie leaked to the internet tomorrow, you know, 3 weeks before it's supposed to be in theaters. Would it necessarily be the person who leaked its fault if it was something that was given to them? No, but it's still going to financially damage the receipts
but
of the film.
That's copyright theft. That's not say that'd be like if you leaked a copy of Pokemon Sword and Shield to the internet and then people played that and they're like, oh, here's all the secrets. That's different versus like, here's some information I've heard about. Like, say that would be the equivalent of somebody leaking the script for Star Wars, the new Star Wars movie, or the bits of the script of the new Star Wars movie. I don't know. I still think it's a slippery slope, but I guess they got to try.
Elliot B. in our chat says, Detective Pikachu on the case. Absolutely. YYR in chat says, argument, I own this physical copy of the game. I can do with it as I please. Counter argument, you don't own the software. You're licensed to use it, and doing this is a violation of the license agreement. I don't think anybody's going to jail over this, but I think Nintendo wants to figure out where is the leak so we can plug it up, you know, and potentially go after somebody in a civil court. Now, I had heard a story about this, but you can take it with a grain of salt because I don't have the article or the receipts to back it up. So maybe this is full of shit, and I'm fully admitting that. But I had heard that there were live streams of Pokemon days before it was released that were somehow altered or edited or maybe pre-releases or something that made the game look worse than it actually was when it came to things like loading times and things of that nature. And that's kind of bullshit. Like, and this was angry Dexit, you know, people that just wanted to bag on Game Freak.
That's still, though, I mean, you're going to have a hard time proving damages for something like that because you can say, well, this one video got out there and we suffered, you know, X number of dollars in damages.
Yeah, but like, if you sign an NDA that says if you spill, you are – it says in that NDA you will pay $1 million. And I'm thinking in my mind today, there was just some article going around Facebook today because this was a ridiculous use of an NDA. But a comic, one of the guys from Saturday Night Live, the young guy that was with Ariana Grande for a short time. What the hell's his name? The kid
from Pete Davidson?
Him. Okay, he was doing a stand-up show in San Francisco. He was making people sign NDAs. And the NDA said in it, somebody posted it online, like, you would pay $1 million if you even, like, talked about the contents of the show online. And people were saying how ridiculous that was because you couldn't even criticize or critique the show. I mean, it's one thing to be like, you can't have your cell phones out during the show, because that is pretty bullshit when people record stand-up comic routines and then put it on their own YouTube.
Yeah.
Like, that's joke theft, you know. It's not.
That's copyright theft.
Exactly. So that's, you know, not okay. But to take it to the extremes of an NDA where you can't even critique it, that's a little bit like, you're not really within your realm here. Anyway, the reason why I bring that up is because it showed the NDA and it said, you break this, you pay $1 million. So you know in Nintendo's NDA, in any NDA, if you go on a reality TV show like Survivor, where they know who won Survivor, whatever the next one is, they already know because it's already been filmed and done. I mean, okay, technically they don't know who wins until they reveal the votes, but they know generally who gets voted out when and who's in the finals,
yes,
right? And it's in their contract. You break this, you're paying like $4 million.
Well, they don't.
So
it could say you could face penalties of this. Whereas I still think, though, even if there was a contract like that, I still have a hard time believing that they can prove damages on that.
Okay, but counterpoint, who has the better lawyers, Nintendo or 4chan Kid? Just saying. Nintendo's going
to
squeeze Pokemon Company, excuse me.
To that, though, like, I don't know where 4chan is necessarily located.
It's not the site. They're only trying to get the site to reveal who it is.
But, like, I understand that, though, but if they're in a foreign country, if they're central in a foreign country, they can say, fuck you and your stupid, you know, court order. We're not going to follow it.
If Nintendo doesn't have a presence in that country. But remember, Nintendo has established in USA, Canada, Japan, many parts of, overseas in Britain and surrounding countries.
I think they're going to have better luck with Discord. But even still, though, that, I don't know. I think it's a slippery slope, because then what? Then you're going to, like, start saying, oh, well, these people, they had bad things to say about our game. Let's find out who they are. I mean, like, you could argue that they caused damages because of their negative critique. I understand that they should be protected, but I'm Nintendo, and I can fucking sue people, so I don't know.
Go ahead.
Just the thing is that with any kind of tech company, be it software, hardware, you name it, their part of their financial security lies in secrecy. It lies in having something be locked to yourself as a proprietary secret, so that when you release said item, to quote a term from another company, your customers are surprised and delighted by it. To have anything sneak out about it beforehand is going to impact that. It may, you know, chase people off of buying the product. It may affect those upcoming sales. And I think that what they're doing is not overreactionary at all. I think that it's like you said, they have a leak to plug. Just because it happens now does not mean this will not happen again.
Right.
And so I think even just by pursuing it, the simple pursuit of it will set a precedence that companies are going to take it seriously.
I think for the most part, like, I don't think it's a big deal that, like, Final Evolution, you know, I realize for hardcore Pokemon fans it is a big deal, but I do agree with Loki in a sense that, like, you know, certain types of information getting leaked is not a big deal. Oh, no, you saw what Grookey's final form looked like, you know,
like,
you saw some of that stuff.
Like, how would, like, let's just assume that, like, nothing got leaked. How would people be taking, like, this Dexit stuff, like, because I don't think they announced, like, here's the Pokemon.
Well, you just walked right into what my follow-up point is I think that's what actually makes this a little bit different and why Nintendo wants to go after it, because of that hard negativity about Dexit that was online, which ultimately didn't matter when it came to sales,
because
right?
Because it really –
the biggest selling thing.
Yeah, but it's
but
still –
the leaks showed you who was missing, and that was something Nintendo was trying to protect. And I think that might be the key difference here, is that I think it's that specifically – where that kind of crossed the line for Nintendo, was that they knew this was something that was negative and all the ramp up, and they did not want it out there who specifically was cut until the final minute. I just kind of think that's what was going on. Now, if, and I'm going to say bold if, underline if, okay, circled, it's true that somebody was streaming it and they were streaming a misrepresented fully copy of the game, then I think Nintendo should take that person for everything they got, honestly. Because I think that is fucked up.
If they're streaming, though, they should be able to find them through Twitch or YouTube or whomever.
So, again, that's if that was even true, which it might not have been. This is just something I was told. So, but I think that is way past the line of what's acceptable and so forth. And I think especially if you're streaming a game and you're misrepresenting what that game even is, which is so weird that we live in this world where you have to talk about that. But, I mean, y'all have heard of in fake news, and I was trying to think of another name for it, but I can't. It's fake news, and what, you know, the social media does in the spread of that type of, you know, heavily partisan one way or another type of news and so forth. I mean, here we are where video games are now kind of walking down the similar path. We have fake video game news. Maybe. But I imagine we're not that far away from that being a reality. So anyway, but I think the Dexit thing at its core is what, you know, Nintendo was trying to protect. Now, at the end of the day, you know, and I've said this on a previous episode of OLR, whereas I think the Dexit thing is like, oh man, that would have been like, that would have been the icing. That would have been like the, that would have been that sweet glaze, that extra thing that would have made this a perfect fucking dessert. Pokemon Sword and Shield is still a really fucking good dessert, and I'll get into more of that later on. I think it's a great game, personally. So, I mean, is the Dexit thing noticed? Yeah. Does it damn the whole game? I don't think so. I think there's still plenty of variety and things to do.
Then why hide it? Like, I don't understand. Like, it just seems disingenuous to me, is the whole point. It's like, oh, we want to hide it before those, you know, so we get all those pre-sale copies out there, and then it's like, oh, now you can find out about it. Like,
well,
I don't know.
Based on the social media and that negativity on social media, there was probably a legit concern within Nintendo that it would impact sales. I mean, now do you just say, oh, well, it didn't impact it, sales?
Well,
Don't you want to have
your consumers be well? I guess you don't want your consumers to be well informed when purchasing your products. You don't want to know, like, what intricacies there are so they can make a, you know, educated decision in their purchase. I mean, I guess that should be expected from a company that sells two copies of their game every year. So why not? I don't know. I just, I have a hard time giving them the benefit.
If I were to come out here, Loki, and say, you know what? Rey is Princess Leia's sister. Enjoy episode 9. Now, that's not a real spoiler. I don't know shit about what goes on in that movie, and I don't think age-wise that would work. Anyway, I made that up, so don't worry. Exhale. It's a fake spoiler. But let's just say I did. I just blurted out. I just wanted you to be informed before you go see that movie. Here's the big spoiler about the ending. I mean, isn't that kind of fucked up? And, like, wouldn't, if I'm advertising on my website, you know, like, oh, here's the big twist at the end of episode 9.
No, it's
– like, IGN publishes this headline.
I guess in the sense if you're trying to say that that's different than the expectations I would have for the movie, then that would be a huge
Quest
spoiler.
Questmaster, I picked something ridiculous so you all wouldn't panic.
So, no, my see, what I'm saying is, though, is it's drastically different from other Pokemon game, whereas the other Pokemon games, they continue to add to, you know, the full list of Pokemon. They keep adding to it, whereas this is the first one where they have taken some away and then added some to that as well. So that is what I'm saying about being well-informed, because most people going into it, having not known that, might think, oh, hey, cool, I'm going to have all my favorite Pokemon in there, plus I'm going to get some new ones. And then they go there and, wait a second, where are these Pokemon? Oh, they were taken out of the game? I didn't know that. That kind of sucks. You know, and that is what I'm talking about being, you know, well-informed about a game. Is if you're taking something and you're drastically changing something.
To be fair, they weren't that shifty about it. They announced, like, as far back as E3 that not all the Pokemon were going to be in it. Because they were asked that question very directly, is every Pokemon in this game? And they did say no. And that was what started the whole hubba-bubba-boo. Then finally somebody got a copy of the game and said, oh, I have the answer. Find out if your faves made the cut. Here's the list. And then here, cue the Reddit post once a day. Here is one Pokemon family that has been eliminated from Pokemon. It's so fucking dramatic. Jesus Christ. Jigglypuff? Well, she dead. So, enjoy Pokemon. Anyway. Rest in peace, Jigglypuff. With the, you know, forever in our hearts. With Carnations, Tombstone. I mean, come on, Loki. Some people are really fucking dramatic about this Dexa thing. It's not that big a deal. Would it have made a 9.5 game a 10? Probably. I mean, I don't know. I don't even know if I'd say that.
All right. Technical issues aside, too, but, you know.
Yeah, well, yeah. I would say the internet issues and the wild area, like how it fucking chokes when you're online, I would say those issues are a way bigger deal than the Dexit thing. But anyway. All right. Let's move on. So we're going to move on past Pokemons and talk about how was your gaming week, which I left off the sidebar tonight. Isn't that convenient? All right, so I guess I'll back it up. How was your gaming week, folks? What types of video games have you been playing this week? Dark Sakura, why don't you start us off?
I didn't really play a whole lot, just because I had to bake 5 batches of cookies on Tuesday night after work.
The holidays were this week, so, you know,
you
understandable.
Had to?
Yeah, I had to, because they were for 3 different events that I had obligated myself to. And then, actually, I know I take that back, because we did have a lot of virtual racing going on in my house on Wednesday night. Like, they stayed up for hours playing fucking virtual racing. I'm like, it's virtual racing. I don't give a shit. And we play a bunch of pinball. And then, actually, I did get to play the Jersey Jack Pirates of the Caribbean on Thursday, because we went to a friend's place for Thanksgiving, and I got to play that, and I got to play Jurassic Park, the new Jurassic Park Stern pinball. And I played a little bit of Star Trek, because it was there. There's also an Iron Maiden, but I don't really care for the Iron Maiden table.
I still really need to come over and play that Elvira table while you still have it.
Oh, yeah, I played Elvira.
And Alan needs to play it, too. It's his table.
Alan's the one that messaged me. He's like, I had no idea about this. I'm like, I told Rob. He's sleeping on the couch.
You know, virtual racing has just about enough polygons for the Tesla Cybertruck in there. So
we have a story on that later, actually.
But I guess I did do some gaming. I didn't play Pokemon, which I thought I would. But I also played my usual phone shit. And then I got, like, the plague, and so I didn't play much. Played a lot of solitaire.
All right. Well,
I play solitaire every day at work.
Why not? Solitaire, so it's one of those standby good classics.
It's like
I'm more of a Minesweeper kid, but you know.
I look at it as the frying pan of my brain. Solitaire is the deglazer for the fond at the bottom of my pan.
All right. Let's move on. Loki, how was your gaming week? I don't know, did the holidays get in the way of your gaming? Or?
I didn't really play a lot of the games during the holidays. I played Minecraft Earth a bit and very little Pokemon Go. That's pretty much it. I've been mainly just trying to work on my game, so I've been working on the procedural level generation portion of it. And I got it pretty much done. I'm just dialing it in now because I want it to look a certain way. And it's just deciding between like different settings so that I get it to be just how I want it without, because, you know, I had done it in a certain way where it was just like getting ridiculously meandering everywhere. I was like, no, not quite what I want. So it's just dialing that in right now. And then once I get that done, I have to find a way to traverse the room so that I can make the doors one way in a certain way so that I don't get trapped in a dead end because there's no backtracking in the game. So, yeah, that's what I've been working on. Most of the time, that's why I did not play very many games and didn't really buy that many games either because, you know, it's all the sales and everything. I looked at stuff. I don't think I bought anything.
All right.
Maybe I will. I wanted to get Beat Saber, but oddly enough, that is not on sale.
Most of the sales go through tomorrow, which is, you know, Cyber Monday. So, well, yeah. I mean, a lot of the big sellers, they don't really discount because there's it's Death Stranding. You know, I was hoping there'd be a Black Friday sale on it. Nope, still too new. There was no Black Friday sale anywhere on it. So, and I'll get to that here shortly. But I ended up paying the full $60 in order to be able to play it. So, whatever. I knew that was probably going to be the case, but I thought maybe there'd be a discount. Who knows? All right. Anything else you want to talk about?
That's it.
All right. Let me talk about my gaming week here a little bit. So unlike my co-hosts, probably because I didn't do a lot for the holidays, it's just myself, Alan, and my dad. And we had a great Thanksgiving dinner, though. But we go out to eat because you don't want to eat what I'm going to cook. And, like, nobody wants to cook. So we go out. So thank you to the folks at restaurants that stay open on Thanksgiving so that folks who, you know, don't really – aren't going to cook a great dinner, still have a place to eat. And I will say, we went to a great place. We went to the Brazilian Steakhouse out in Roseville, which so we had the meat on the swords. And what was cute was that for their like, you know how they have the food, the salad bar, right?
Yeah.
And usually they'll have a selection of hot foods there, like soups and things. What they did is they replaced all the hot food with turkey, mashed potatoes, cranberries.
So I thought they had like the turkey on the swords too.
No, they didn't have the turkey on the swords. Turkey was over at the salad bar-ish.
Oh, that's
area.
Lame.
Yeah, so not quite the same. But believe me, there was no shortage of amazing meat. I just felt bad for my dad because he kind of filled up on all the traditional stuff, but I think that's what he wanted. He wanted to have more of the traditional stuff. So he didn't get to try because he was already full by the time all the other stuff. Whereas, yeah. Like, Alan and myself were like, let's split half a piece of turkey and a scoop of mashed potatoes. And then that was like all we ate. And
yeah,
then
let's,
it was
like, let's not fill
on,
up.
Bring on that bacon wrap sirloin.
That's what my wife always says. She's like, don't fill up on the garbage. Don't fill up on the salad. Fill up on the meat. It's what we're here for. We're paying
right.
for the meat. You eat the meat.
She's absolutely right. All right. But so that was great. So Thanksgiving was great. But outside of that, we didn't have a whole lot going on. So I played like a shitload of games, honestly. I was out playing Pokemon Go, since you brought that up. A friend of mine took me out who plays the game a lot and was trying to help me along with the Team Rocket stuff to get Giovanni for this month for the Shadow Articuno. Yeah. I didn't get all the way there, but I did purify 15 Pokemon, and like I did a lot of those Team Rocket fights. But then, like, if it hadn't been raining these past couple days, I probably would have finished it. But the rain starting here kind of, like, you know, you don't want to go outside as much. So I didn't end up finishing that up. But you know, I made a lot of – I've done a lot more of those Team Rocket fights than I ever have since it started. I probably did like three times as many in the past 3 days as I have since that whole thing started. So there's that. Bonds 006 says, I detest those damn TR fights so much. Yeah, they're not my favorite thing, but, you know, my friend made a good point about it, was that – it kind of gives another thing to do in the game, like another reason to craft these Pokemon a certain way and have other Pokemon have the spotlight that maybe we're monopolizing in the gym battles. So it's like you have this other thing to kind of work for and do besides just, oh, I have to catch shinies, or, oh, I have to catch, you know, perfect 100%
IVs.
Yeah,
but like the ones that you get, though, the purified ones, or when you do purify them, they're not very strong.
They're really not. They're kind of hit and miss. Like those Articunos are crappy. Now, I would think what you do is you save them for a lucky trade and then trade them, but I'm told you can't trade purified Pokemon. I don't know if that's true or not, but I would think that's the way to get around the low IVs. But I fought a Bulbasaur over at the park not the, by my house, but the other one, I fought a Bulbasaur, and after I purified it, it was 15, 14, 14. So I evolved it once to a Venusaur, and then before I evolved it, I'm sorry, I evolved it once to Ivysaur, and then before I hit the button to do it Venusaur, I heard my friend in the back of my mind say, you don't want to evolve that yet because Community Day is coming up and all those moves will come back. And I was like, oh shit, that's right. So I held off and I didn't evolve it all the way to Venusaur. So I'm waiting for Community Day so I have that purified Pokemon that's high level. So that'll be fun. So anyway, I also played – so this is fun. I have a little bit of B-roll of this.
Oh, yes, B-roll.
Yay, B-roll. So unfortunately, it's not going to be great for those of you guys on the podcast, so I apologize. But I will talk through this here a little bit. So earlier today, I took a, some B-roll of myself playing Destiny 2 on Google Stadia. So this is what you guys are going to see. Watch now as I'm firing up Google Stadia. And I kind of wanted to show you guys what it looked like. So like the process. And the green screen effect was horrible. I didn't have a chance to tune it. So just please, especially as the monitor, my main monitor gets bright and dark, the green screen screws up more and more. So sorry about that. So anyway, how did I get Google Stadia? Did I buy it? No. Those buddy passes came out where you can give it to a friend and a friend can get 3 months. So our pal Bobby Blackwolf, who's on before us here Sunday nights at Vogue, was a buddy and gave me his buddy pass so I could check out with Google Stadia. So I could do impressions here on the show just like he did a little bit. Except and Jason did a fabulous job here on this show. And him and Bobby both talked about Samurai Showdown. So I was like, well, I'll play the other game. I don't mind. I mean, I know not a lot of first-person shooters people want to play, but I don't mind Destiny 2. I think the Destiny series is one of the better first-person shooters, so why not? So you'll notice, for those that are watching, I'm still trying to get into the game. So spoiler alert, it still takes a good 2 minutes to launch the game. Now, that's because I'm counting the time of you got to wait for the game to load up Stadia. Then you got to get to the start menu, and then it does all the security checks after the start menu. And then you got to pick what you want to do. And then here in this phase, I'm waiting for two other people to join my fire team so I can go down and do this random thing. I haven't even been paying attention to the stories I've been playing, but I can go. I'm waiting patiently so I can go down on the fire team and go to the planet and do what I need to do.
It's like Final Fantasy XI all over again.
Yeah.
Waiting for group.
Now, Questbuster in chat says, wow, I'm behind on light levels. The game starts you at 750. I have not played the game that much on Stadia, but so I started off with like 750. So it was pretty high when I started off. So anyway, how did I like it? How was the experience of playing on Google Stadia? Well, I wanted you guys that are on Twitch to be able to see some of the visuals so you could kind of see what it looks like. And honestly, I think the visuals look fine. It looks like you're playing a YouTube, basically. I mean, there is a notice because I actually bought Destiny 2 on Battle.net way back when they first launched on Battle.net. I bought it there, and I've been able to play that in 2K mode on my monitor, and it looks really sharp when I'm playing it in 2K mode. So I don't think it quite looks that good. The colors get just ever so slightly washed. Like when you probably watch YouTubes of your favorite game online, you probably notice there's a little bit of a wash over the screen a little bit. And that kind of holds true when I'm playing in Stadia. And again, I'm playing on a web browser. I'm not playing on my television because the Buddy Pass didn't exactly give me a Chromecast or anything like that. And as Bobby points out in chat, remember Rob is playing the 1080p version too. And yes, that's the other point, is that I'm used to playing in 2K, but when you are playing Destiny 2 in the browser, you're actually only getting it at 1080p. Wait a minute, I thought Stadia did 4K. Yeah, me too, but I guess developers have not yet enabled the 4K streaming, or they're not officially supporting 4K streaming at this time. So I'm not actually playing it in 4K. But when it comes to how much bandwidth am I actually using to play this, the answer ends up being, not that much. It's not that bad because I'm in 1080p. And you have to remember that is further being downsized to the 720p that you guys are seeing in a smaller than 720p window here. So it actually probably looks even better for you guys that are watching it on Twitch right now, me being really bad at shooters. But very satisfied that I shot that rocket and blew that guy up. So now, Prince Brightstar asked the very important question, how is the lag? And I'm going to say that is where I was most impressed with Stadia. I didn't notice it. Like, you'll notice I'm just plunking away playing my first-person shooter. The only thing I'm getting frustrated at is how bad my aim is. I'm not actually frustrated at all. Why am I shooting that ship? I have no idea. Anyway.
It has a health bar. It can be damaged.
That's what it says. It has a health bar. Shoot it out of the sky. Anyway. But yeah, honestly, like the lag, pretty good. Like it's not noticeable. Like I was able to successfully, you know, do what I needed to do while I was playing this. So there's that. I mean, even though I kind of tease it for taking 2 minutes to launch, I realize that it is an online game and, you know, you have to find a party and so forth. So for the most part, a lot of that is understandable. I'm not having to wait for it to install patches or anything like that. I was able to just kind of get up and running. So what did I think of Google Stadia? Not too shabby, honestly, like as far as the technology goes, especially if I wanted to just keep playing in 1080p like this. Here's where I think Google Stadia is going to run into a problem. A lot of it's to do with the pricing, honestly. Like, I'm playing this because it's free for me for 3 months, thanks to Bobby having paid for it. And I'll probably try out those other games that are going to be free as well. But that's only a handful of games I'm going to have for $9.99 a month. Whereas in contrast, Xbox Game Pass has a ton of stuff on it, right? Yeah. Now, yes, you have to download that stuff to your computer.
Right now.
How much longer is that going to be a thing as we get closer and closer to xCloud being a reality? So I kind of think Google's implemented something, you know, technology that's pretty nice. But I think Microsoft's about to throw them under the bus in about a year.
That Games Pass, man, that's going to really do it next gen, I think. Yeah. Even this generation. But, like, it's a really nice offer. And, I mean, I keep looking at Xbox Ones. I'm just like, no. I'm going to buy the next one. But I don't know. Because I know with being in this generation, mainly PlayStation, you know, I have that huge library of games I got with PlayStation Plus. I don't feel so bad losing out on that, being that I'll get it all back with Games Pass anyways.
So anyway, that's me playing Destiny 2 on Stadia. So I wanted to have a little bit of the visual for those of you guys on Twitch. You could see, like, what does it look like? What does it actually look like when you boot up? How does it go into the game? So I wanted you guys to be able to see a little bit of that.
I have something else to talk about. It's a little bit unrelated.
Sure, why not? Because I was
go ahead and sum up.
I was I don't know if there's a lot else to say on it. It's one of those things where I think the technology is not. I mean, with as much as we're complaining about bandwidth caps and all that stuff, like if I'm still just streaming things at 1080p, I don't know if that's really going to become an issue for me. I mean, maybe I want to try some things in 4K later. Maybe that is going to be an issue later on. I'm not trying to deny that that is an issue, but 1080p is good enough. Just like a lot of 2K gaming for me is good enough right now, and I'm enjoying it. I think Stadia has more of a struggle on its monetary structure. It's kind of the same thing Jason said last week. It's more the structure and how they want you to pay for games when you look at what some of the competition is doing, and especially how they're positioning the chess pieces, like we're talking about with Xbox. That's where I fear for Stadia. But if Stadia can put together something real quick that can rival Game Pass in a way, it might be more tempting. Anyway, before I get to my next game, Jamie, you had a different thought.
I just wanted to go ahead and mention that today is also World AIDS Day. Excuse me. And so I just wanted to make sure that I put the mention out there for everybody. Just have the awareness of it and keep those that we've lost in mind. Mm-hmm. So
that is an important note. Thank you for that. And I think it's very important everybody know their status. And your sexuality has nothing to do with that. Everybody should know their status.
Everybody should know.
Yeah. So. It's very, very, very easy to get tested. And, you know, in fact,
it's not the death sentence it once was.
If you catch it and treat it, there's ways to, basically suppress, you know, I mean, not that we should overlook it by any means, but, you know, there's also this saying that undetectable is untransmittable. So if you get it treated and you can get down to levels where it's undetectable in your system, you still have a lot of options. Kind of leave that out there, but there's many, many, many ways you can kind of get treatment for that weren't there when people were first talking about this in a lot of the media and stuff in the 80s and 90s. So,
but definitely anyway. Look into your local resources. Check and see if you've got like an LGBT center in your town. Look for
You don't even need that. Well, I mean, yes,
for
it is
resources.
A place. Sure, resources.
And you see if you've got sisters in town. You know, sisters will always help you with resources and education. But definitely just make sure that you take care of yourself. And it doesn't matter if you, what gender you identify with, what your body is like, who you like sleeping with or not at all. If you've had contact with, and I'm not just going to say, you know, coitus or anything like that, but even if you've had injections recently, if you have to say, you know, if you've had a blood transfusion, I know the doctors are very careful with it, but I mean, that's how Ryan White got it in the '80s.
Mm-hmm. Well, a lot of that is tested and different now.
It's but different now.
There's no excuse. You should know your status no matter who you are.
Exactly. Yeah. So I'm saying, you know, never take it for granted.
Yeah.
So.
And one other quick thing I'll say, it's really easy. Like when I go to my doctor and my doctor is like, I want to do blood, because doctors want to do blood tests all the time, right? I go in, I'm coughing too much. Let's do a blood test. And I'll usually ask if it's been, you know, 6 months since the last time, I'm going to ask, I'm going to say, hey, since I'm going to lab anyway, can you throw in this HIV test as well? Mm-hmm. The worst I've ever gotten from the doctor response is, do you have a reason to be concerned? And I'm like, no, I just want to know my status. Okay. Yeah. That's it. They're going to throw it in. They want you to do that test too. So anyway, good life lesson from Dark Sakura mixed in here with the gaming stuff. All right. Other games, though, I will mention for my gaming week. Pokemon Shield. So here's the update on Pokemon Shield. I beat it. That's right. I got all 8 gym badges. I fought the championship, and I became the champion. And I caught the legendary that is integrated in the story, so I don't know how much I should say into that. Not the Sword and Shield legendary. That is the post-game. So
is
that
the one that's at the beginning of the game?
Yeah, the very, very beginning of the game. That is the post-game legendary. So I have not...
I had a feeling.
Yeah, I have not done the post-game content yet. I'm sure I'll get around to it at some point, but then I got derailed with another game that I'll talk about in a moment. But honestly, you know, I know we were just kind of talking about Pokemon, the controversy and everything. I really enjoyed Gen 8. I really, really enjoyed Gen 8. And I think some of the major differences for this, I've never beaten a mainline Pokemon game before. I've never gotten this far in a mainline Pokemon game. Shane was shook. He might not show it because he's Shane, but he was shook, definitely, that I beat the game. Here's some things that made this generation different. Number one, getting to be able to play it on my television versus being forced to do it on a handheld. I think there's just something about that experience. I've always enjoyed gaming on the TV more, being able to kind of plop on my couch, have the big screen and the sound bar and everything. That was really cool. Number two, I think the wild area was a pretty good change because I don't feel this need to grind every Pokemon that I miss on a route because I kind of know, like, A, the Pokédex shows you what you're missing from a certain route, so you know you can kind of always go back and get it later, and you don't feel the need to, like, oh, I got to go check this online reference I used to do in some of the older games. And most of them are available in the wild area. Number three, which I think is the biggest one, rating, Dynamax rating, changed it. Because now I don't have to grind battles over and over and over again to raise the experience level of my Pokémon. If I do enough of those Dynamax raids, you get candy from those raids, and you feed the candy to your Pokemon, and the candy levels them up. And it's a great alternative to grinding. And I think that was a huge part of it. And it's funny because I hear this game get a lot of shit because people go, it's not as long as the prior games. Well, how many of those hours in Pokemon Blue were you fucking grinding on a certain route over and over again to either catch this Pokemon that only showed up 5% of the time or to overlevel your Pokemon so that way the next gym fight would not be that big of a deal? Like, so I kind of think there's that y'all need to consider when you're talking about the length of the game is how much of the game was actually interesting. Sorry, not sorry. Anyway, that's a good thing for Pokemon Gen 8, in my opinion. Those are some of the big things. I'm trying to think what else I said when I wrote this post on Twitter, because somebody like directly asked me the question, why did this gen stick when the other gens didn't? But those are some of the biggest ones right there that, you know, just made this a lot of fun. The end game did kind of keep going and going. Like, I thought I was ready to beat it, and it was like, no, you have to go here and there. But I don't think that's a bad thing at all. I mean, you know, because this game's gotten crap for its story too. I suppose I will say, I saw a critique about how the game felt like you weren't an active participant in the story, that the story was kind of happening around you for the most part. And I will say I do see truth in that critique, and I can see where that bothers some people. I don't think that's to say you don't actively participate at all. No, certainly there's very important things that your character does in the game. But I can get the sense that there's a lot that happens that you don't see or you're not involved with that feels a little weird. So I do think that's a valid critique there, but it didn't really bother me to the level that it may bother some other people in that. So anyway. Bobby in chat says, not as long as a positive for me. I'm debating on getting it, especially because it's not as long as it only has a subset of all Pokemans. It's a good one to start with. I think there's a good reason why they put it on the Switch. I think all the Pokemon will come back when they do probably a remake. They'll probably do a remake of Gen 4. Where did they leave off? I can't remember.
You just do Pokemon Uber and Pokemon Ultimate.
There is a part of me that wonders if they won't just do, since everybody's whining, if they won't just do like a Pokemon Ultimate that has every Pokemon today in it. That's just a side
story. Pokemon World Traveler.
Yeah, maybe something that takes you through all the regions, but like an abbreviated.
They should have a collection.
Collect them all.
No, like a collection, like a few games in one, mm-hmm. You know, like a few generations, and then just one continuous Pokédex that you can use between them.
Those are all great ideas. So, but I hope
they'll never do any of them.
I hope there are conveniences from this generation and quality of life improvements that they do look at implementing in any remake or future generation. So, Elliot B says, I don't think I've gotten past the third gym on any Pokemon game since Sapphire. Same. I just get bored around the 10-hour mark. Same. But this time, when I got bored, I just went and did Dynamax ratings.
Can you start off with those? Because I've got those little pink areas to look
at. Yes, if you can see the pink areas. I would say once you get your YCOM, which is before the first gym, you can raid. You don't want to necessarily jump in all the 5 stars, but you can raid.
Well, the last thing that I did was the mines on the way to the first gym. So I might do it after the first gym.
Yeah. So after the first gym is a good time to do it. And honestly, if you get the first gym, the second gym is just a hop, skip, and a jump over. The first 3 gyms are all pretty easy to knock out. And then you kind of have a wait before you get to the 4th gym. But anyway. Right. So that is my thought on Pokemon Gen 8. I think it's great. I think a lot of people who are talking bad about it probably haven't played it yet. That's not to say none of the criticisms are valid and it's not a perfect game. But it's pretty darn good, and it made a great impression on me.
Dude needs better fashion sense. I mean, white shorts with white leggings, no girl.
You do get to redress them. That's one of the first things I did.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Is that your gaming week?
One more. Okay, so I got one more game. It was a busy week. Sorry, guys. So one more game. So I went out on Thanksgiving, and yeah, I was one of those people that went to Target on Thanksgiving. But
I did as well.
I was really nice.
I didn't spend any money.
Yeah, so I went, and you know what? The reality is, like, Alan and I were going stir crazy. We were bored. Like, we have nothing to do on this holiday. What do we? Like, is anything open? So we're like, let's just go to Target.
You need to play Ingress.
No, God, I'm like over that. Anyway, so like, I was like, let's drive to Target. If the parking lot is a shit show, then we'll just drive somewhere else. We'll go on a drive. But the parking lot at Target wasn't that bad. It was just like a really bad Saturday morning, pretty much. And we went in, and there was a ton of people staffing, and they had a system, and it was fine. And I just was very polite. I was asked to go stand to one line versus another, and I'm just, okay. I talked to the guy about video games, so I just, you know, tried to, you know, if I'm going to be a monster and shop in Thanksgiving, then at least I can be a nice one. So anyway, I got a copy of Death Stranding. That's the point. And so I've been playing Death Stranding. I'm probably about 6 hours into Death Stranding. Or as I called it, what did I say in that text message I sent to Shane? I said
Death Cake Stranding.
Yes, or in the opening of the show tonight. Let's see. I said
Norman Reedus's baby fetus.
Oh, there's all of that too. This might be the strangest game ever. I'm carrying a dead body on my back across these scenic landscapes, constantly having to use L2 and R2 to shift weight while hipster music plays in the background. Yep.
Girl, learn to crouch.
And Dark Tetsuya says, I still like Dark Souls of walking. Here's the... That description is completely accurate. It really is the Dark Souls. What do you do in the game? You walk. How do you know where to walk? You press R1. and it shows you where the dangerous terrain versus the non-dangerous terrain is. So you can kind of plot out carefully, where am I going to walk? And you do. You have to adjust your weight. You have to L2 and R2 to kind of like grip the ground. And one of the places where I was really struggling was that there's these kind of like – again, I don't want to spoil story too much. But there's like these ghosty things that 'll chase you and come after you, and they're trying to like basically kill you. Although – well, I don't want to spoil. But they're basically trying to kill you. So like I was getting really frustrated because the thing would go off. The baby would cry and it would say press R1 to hold your breath. And so like, okay, I'm holding my breath. Well, the fuckers would still get me like every time. And so I actually went to Twitter and I made a tweet. I'm like, what the hell am I doing wrong? And somebody replied and said, are you crouching? And I'm like, oh yeah, that's a thing it taught you in like the first 20 seconds of the game, isn't it? But it never to my credit, the game reminds you to hold your breath. It never reminds you again to crouch. So I remembered then, thanks to Twitter, to crouch. And I was like, oh, okay, this is a lot easier. But the thing about crouching is then you move even slower. So it's like you are slowly going through these landscapes.
Dude, and don't leave corpses behind.
Oh, well, no. And that is explained to you very much in the story in the beginning.
Well, yeah, so. But people still do that shit.
But you know how like the very first mission in the game is moving a corpse? Mm-hmm. That's where I was at. So, but anyway.
Wait till you get to carry live people.
Oh, God.
Why do I have to carry live people? They have legs. They can walk on their own.
Oh, no, you got to carry them just like the dead.
Yeah. So anyway, but I don't know. It's weird. Like the story is very interesting. It's very cinematic. It's very well done. I didn't realize that Lindsay Wagner played that part that she played. And then I was like, oh, this, by the way, Lindsay Wagner.
And she voiced the
other character. We'll just say it like that. I know there's so many like spoilery things I could say, but I'm trying to be good.
She voiced 1.0 and not 2.0.
Yes. Yes. That is, and she provided the likeness for 2.0.
Yes, she did.
Yes. Okay. So, anyway, so, where was I? Oh, Lindsay Wagner was on this television show in the 70s called The Bionic Woman, and the main character in The Bionic Woman was Jamie Summers.
So, spelled differently.
Spelled differently.
That's where I took my stage name from.
Yeah. Questbuster says most weapons are non-lethal for a very good reason. Yeah, I noticed that when I would tackle people, you weren't killing them. And that does make sense because the story explains why dead bodies, you don't leave them around. So you had to basically tie people up and that was it. You incapacitate people and just leave them on the ground squirming because you have to do that in one of the early missions.
Which would suck if an actual BT did come by for them.
Yeah. But then Questbuster says most weapons are non-lethal. Okay, but the weapons there are pee-pee-poo-poo. That is the weapons in the game are pee-pee-poo-poo. Like, and I was like, this game is infatuated with pee-pee-poo-poo because there's this whole thing, like, when you're, like, you are sitting in your little dorm room or whatever.
It's not much of a spoiler to say that the main character is special.
Yes. The main character is special and has special pee-pee-poo-poo. And it can actually...
And his blood.
You're making a face, but it's true.
No, I'm... I know, but it was actually, to me, that it was an interesting concept.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then when...
They rationalize it completely in their own weird way, why pee-pee-poo-poo is effective.
You see...
As you learn more, though, about him as a character, then the reason why his bodily fluids and excrement... are powerful.
You see, this is why they warn you that drinking too many Monster Energy drinks is a bad thing. It does eventually kill the undead. So, I mean...
Game of the Year contender Death Stranding is infatuated with pee-pee-poo-poo, and it rationalizes everything. This is why I am obsessed with pee-pee-poo-poo.
And here's the well, my thing, like, if they're collecting blood from him every time he stops to rest, how much of his blood do they have? Like, there are so many, depending on how often you rest in the game or how many days passed, it just, although there's one, have you had the dream sequence yet with BB?
Yeah, a couple. I don't know if there's a particular one, but
crashing
I've had a few.
Through?
No.
The headbutting?
No.
Okay. First of all, I absolutely love the Bridge Baby.
I don't like BB. I don't like the usage of a baby in that, and especially when they start explaining how, like, that was just really
with the still mother. Yeah,
that's just that it's was a bit much creepy, for me. I think it's the side of me that doesn't care for horror films. I was like, do they really have to do this?
But I like Bridge Baby as you get to know the bridge baby.
Did the, you really?
as long as you learn more about the Bridge Baby as you go along. Mm-hmm. So I really like the Bridge Baby as a character, mm-hmm. as a conduit to all these other things that went on in the game.
Yeah.
And I'm going to leave that again like that.
But again, they explain why a baby, like, they explain it all. Why pee-pee poo-poo? They explain it. Everything is logical. Explained.
Baby pee-pee poo-poo.
No, there's no baby pee-pee poo-poo. It's pee-pee poo-poo and baby.
Because
different.
Because Bridge Baby is still living in Bridge Baby Sack. But anyway, did you meet Mama yet?
No.
Because that's what I'm planning on as one of my cosplays next year.
Okay.
Is Mama.
Well, I've seen Mom, but...
Mama.
Oh, yes, I've met Mama. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, you meet her in, like, the first opening sequence of the game.
Right,
yeah.
But that's, like, I'm planning on cosplaying Mama, and I'm trying to figure out how to do her accessory.
Interesting. So, anyway. Yeah, and then the one more, I swear, only one more thing I have to say about Pee Pee Poo Poo, but since it's so central to this game, when you are in the dorm room and you press the button to make Norman Reedus poop, which I think is the X button, which, yes, is a thing you can do, push X to poop, and you push it, and he gets in, and it's not showing you anything nasty. It's one of those, like, screens.
It's not the South Park, you know, game where there's, like, a little mini game to get the poop.
There's this screen that comes up with the frosted glass, so you can't see anything.
Advertising
disgusting.
Of some show.
And there's a fucking advertisement for a real show. It's Norman Reedus's actual show on AMC. And I was like, what?
Rob.
What on earth? Is this
when he's sitting down, stare at his crotch repeatedly?
I tried.
Did you get punched?
I did not get punched, but he did the thing. He's done a few weird things. The thing that weirded me out was after the press X to poop, and then he got the frosted glass. When he gets out, he sits back down. He looks over at me and winks, and I'm like, "Why are you? That are you, Norman Reedus? Are you hitting on me?" That's not the time to be hitting on me, number one.
And this is the crazy thing. I never thought he was attractive until this game. Seriously. But no.
It's
but
not until you see a man defecate that you truly know attraction.
Pixel Paca says, I just pooped, winked. Yeah, that's kind of what it is.
I pooped. It's like in The Silent Earth for MST3K. What? Did you make faces in the mirror?
Yes, and do the selfies and stuff. Yes, I did find that.
Okay, but just stare at his crotch. Like, he does different things if you stare at his crotch a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, I heard. So, yeah. Anyway. So, I don't know. So then the $50 million question in chat, Swang Tong asked, or should I say the $60 question in chat, is it worth $60? I don't know yet. I still have more to traverse in this game before I truly know if it's worth $60. I will say this. I think it is an excellent fucking troll on behalf of Hideo Kojima. I don't know if this was planned or not, but there's all these people on Twitter that love to bash walking simulators, right? It's like, walking simulators aren't games. There's this story that plays out while you walk. And I feel like Hideo Kojima was like, walking simulator. I'm going to make the ultimate walking simulator. And that's what he's done. He's made the ultimate walking simulator game. And yet nobody's complaining about it. I will say this, though. I do think the way it incorporates the online is pretty fucking clever. Like, I don't know if you guys know this, but you can actually kind of edit the terrain. So, like, not like dig holes and stuff, but, like, let's say there's a particularly nasty part of the river to cross. You can build a ladder or even a bridge to help you cross the river, and other players will see that in their games. And they can send likes, which help you in your game. So that was kind of fascinating and lends itself to this very, like, in-your-face theme to the other big question. What the fuck is Death Stranding about? The fact that we have a need to be connected. That is what Death Stranding is about.
And
at least early in the game, where my head is at, from what we have a need to be connected.
But if you're also looking at it from the perspective of the people that you meet, it could also be involved with the dangers of being too connected.
That's true.
It's very End of Eva for me.
Yeah.
Have you seen End of Evangelion?
No, of course not.
Well, shit.
Yeah.
The whole game just strikes me as, I think that Kojima, like, got really drunk one night and watched End of Evangelion on repeat, mm-hmm. and then decided to make a walking simulator out of End of Evangelion without giant robots.
Appropriate.
So much in common with the Evangelion mythos.
But I did think, you know, I will say this, for all the pee-pee poo-poo jokes, for all the weird baby things that happen in the game, for all the Guillermo del Toro appearances, except it's not really Guillermo del Toro doing the voice, it's somebody else. No, it's not him. It's credited in the very beginning. It's
really?
Yeah, it's the voice of LeFou from the original Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, okay. Because yeah. I thought that they said that
it's his likeness, but it's not his voice.
All right. Well, at any rate, I like his character.
Oh, yeah. He has a great character. When he showed up so early, I was like, oh, I thought this guy just had a cameo. But no, he plays a pretty big role in it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
This is one of the few games like this that I've truly liked all the characters. Well, I mean, except for, like, one of the bad guys.
Yeah.
But, because he was just nuts anyway. But I even liked one of the other reoccurring, quote, bad guys.
Mm-hmm.
And I even like the big quote bad as well. I do not like 1.0 version, but I like 2.0 version.
I like the mule. Was that their name? The guys with the gold skull masks. I think that's a really rad look. And I think who also has a really rad look is that guy who has like a black plastic mask on over his face.
Oh, Die Hard Man?
Yeah, Die Hard Man. I think he's got a really rad look.
I'm still kind of two minds about that character, but his actor did like one of my tweets. So that was cool.
Oh, that's cool. I love the look. Like, yeah, I would say there's a lot to cosplay in this.
Well,
there really is.
He's actually a handsome fellow by himself anyway.
I want Loki to cosplay Sam Bridges Porter carrying 200 kilograms of cargo. Because it's ridiculous. But kind of awesome. All right.
But no, one of my favorite characters in the game could be considered an antagonist.
Hmm. Right. So, well, leave it at that.
I won't go into more of that.
I'm only like 6 hours in, and I feel like there's still so much more to uncover. But I will say the whole, like, we are connected and the way – so my point I was getting at, for all the pee-pee-poo-poo, for all the baby stuff, the fact that the theme of the game is around connection and the need to be connected to people and so forth, or maybe not, the fact that then he built this online component – that allows you to be connected in the process of playing this game, I was like, aha, that is art. And that was my review of Death Stranding. What'd you think, Loki? Are you going to buy the game?
No.
I don't know. I don't know. I think some people will love it and some people will hate it. And isn't that the great part about video games? I don't know. Anyway.
But I would still, though, I think that even though that's one of my favorite characters, I'm actually going to go and say that both Mama and Lachna are probably my favorite.
I could see you cosplaying Mama. Yeah.
They're really my favorite characters in the whole thing.
Yeah.
I like the concept between them.
Mm. All right. Well, let's move on. Let's talk about – so we've only been here talking about our gaming weeks for like an hour. Sorry, that was mostly my bad. But like I said, I played a lot this week. What can I say? So we do have some video game news we want to get into. Quickly, some housekeeping. We should be here every week through December because the holidays this time are on weird days, so they shouldn't interfere with our show. The next show we will be gone will be Martin Luther King weekend, January 19th, I believe it is. So here's the thing, and you guys actually don't know this. You're finding this out for the first time. Alan bought us an anniversary gift today. So we're going – because January 19th actually happens to be our anniversary. So we are going to see Dear Evan Hansen that night here because I was kind of complaining about wanting to see it on Broadway. I was like, oh, I wanted to see that one. So he made it happen. So we're going to go see that on the 19th. Cool.
That's Disneyland week for me. Well,
oh, that's
following
right.
Week.
You weren't going to be here anyway, right?
Well, no, I would have been because we don't leave until that Monday.
Dang
but
it. All right. Well,
it's going to be Disneyland week for me.
Packing for Disneyland week. So, all right.
Yes, exactly.
All right. What, did you want to say something before we get into news?
I'm not doing anything special. But
do a stream.
If my computer would stop shutting down every 5 seconds. Remember, I'm still trying to get my computer not being a shithole.
Oh, yeah, there is that.
Because I've been needing to work on a website and do logo work. Every time I open my fucking Photoshop to piece more on our logo, my computer shuts down. So I think I'd need to actually replace all the RAM in my system and maybe update my BIOS. I don't know, but it's a pain in the ass. But I did have just a small little thing that good that happened to me that I just found out about.
Yeah, sure.
I told you when I got in.
Okay.
So that podcast that I really like called Stuff Mom Never Told You, you know, one of my letters got read out and we got some shout outs for the show. I got another shout out on that podcast for Muppet Babies.
When are you guesting?
I don't know if I'd go to Atlanta and volunteer just because I think that
you need to go to Atlanta for Dragon Con. And that, do they go to Dragon Con? Maybe I've met
them. Yeah, Annie goes to Dragon Con.
I've probably met them and I didn't even know who they were.
I don't think Samantha doesn't cosplay, but because I think this Dragon Con was her first one from listening to the show.
Oh, okay.
But Annie does cosplay. She does a Winter Soldier cosplay.
Bobby, do I know these people? Bobby knows Atlanta better than I do. That's why.
But at any rate, I would actually, I don't know if they're listening. They said they'd check us out, but if I would love to guest on their show and just talk about video games and women in podcasting. The one I'm listening to right now is their episode on fangirls, but they've done some great ones about toxic fandom, gatekeeping, all kinds of things. I totally would say check out the fandom specific podcast of theirs.
Bobby says, I have to see him. I'm terrible with names. Bobby's like me. Like, I'm so visual. Like, you could tell me about a person. I'm like, what do they look like? What's their face? Like, and then I'd be like, oh, sure, I've met this person. It's horrible for a podcaster, I know.
I just tagged the both of them in one of my last tweets. So
sweet. One thing I want to ask real quick. What was the Muppet Babies thing before we get into
okay,
news?
So they did an episode about puppetry and women in puppetry. And so Samantha was talking about Muppet Babies, and they got on a little tangent about Muppet Babies and, you know, are they – like, there's the reboot of them. And I happened to be at Target literally after listening to this podcast, and I saw Muppet Babies toys. So I just snapped it and put it on Twitter, said, hey, Samantha, look what I found. And so she replied back, like, yeah, I remember when Muppet Babies were first in the Muppets Take Manhattan, because not everyone knows that that's the origin of Muppet Babies. And so she – mentioned it on the podcast. I was like, hey, my trivial knowledge is not as trivial.
You can be hosting your own damn thing for 800 episodes and it's still fun to get mentioned on a podcast that you like and respect, you know?
Yeah.
It's still fun. I still remember when you were on Greg Proops's podcast
yeah.
a few years ago.
Went off on my question.
Yeah, you were in a good way.
In a good way, yeah.
This was, and he's still doing that show, right?
Yeah.
I haven't listened in a while.
We went to the punchline here, and I was absolutely just, and he actually signed the back of his show notes for me and gave it to me, and it's framed somewhere in my house. He just told me to keep being awesome. I was like, that's pretty cool. Because I asked him if we were heading for a repeat of the French Revolution or the Bolshevik Revolution because of the way our economy and society is moving. And that he just went off on that one, and it was beautiful.
Swang Tong in chat says, I'm pretty sure I met Rob, but was too scared to say hi years ago at PAX. LOL. I'm bummed to hear that. I wish you had said hi. But let me tell you like a secret. So if I seem like I'm really like in a zone or like off putish or something like that, when you see me in person or whatever, or I seem like I'm in doing something else or whatever, like trust, I am just as nervous as you are. Like, that's some tea. So just, you know, especially at PAX, it had to have been PAX. I wouldn't believe this was PAX 08 in Seattle because we were all there. So it would have been one of the PAX Easts that they're referring to. And so those shows to me were like, I was in a town I'm not that familiar with. I was at a show that I didn't really have an agenda for because especially the most recent PAX, they like, well, what the fuck ever. I'll just say it. I think Bobby said it on his show too. They fucking invited us to do a panel, then said, never mind, we don't want you to do the panel because we got bigger names to do the panel. Essentially, that's the message that I was heard. So I was kind of like in that one of those moods where I was like, I don't even know what I'm doing at this con, except, oh, I'm having a good time being here with Bobby and running into some of the people I do know back here. But I had like no agenda or things to do there. So I was just probably like kind of like off of my own little zone or whatever. So yeah, please say hi. I promise I don't bite unless consent is given. SG100 Matt says, Rob's a pretty cool and fun guy in person. Thank you for that. I appreciate that. So, all right. Anyway, Bobby says, they invited us to be on a panel. Then they took the panel off the schedule. Then we applied as media and they declined us. So we had to buy passes from a listener. True, true, and true. And the only thing that I added is that they took the panel off the schedule to replace it with one with bigger people. That's what it was. Anyway. Anyhow, let's move on. We have other gaming news to talk about. Loki's going to start us off.
Yes. And so we've got apparently PlayStation 5 dev kits spotted in the wild. So there was a photo that leaked out to the internet of apparently two of the PlayStation 5 dev kits. And we know these are allegedly PlayStation 5 dev kits based on the filing that we saw with...
yeah, we had a story on that a few weeks ago.
Yeah, like the patent office. Yeah. And it looked fucking weird. They are like this weird V-shaped system with all these vent holes and stuff on it. And yep, that's what it looks like. Some weird V-shaped system with a bunch of vent holes in it. So I don't know. I mean, that doesn't necessarily mean that that's what the final system's going to look like, but at least we have an idea of here's what the dev kit looks like and that they're out there. I hope the final system doesn't look like that, but it's an odd shape. I don't really understand the purpose behind all the vent holes and the way it looks. It's, I don't know. It almost looks like something you would see, like, you know, someone trying to kickstart their own, like, game console or something. Like the Phantom system or something like that. And
I'm trying not to read too much into it because it is a dev kit, and I highly doubt that's what the actual PlayStation
no, it's
that like.
Not sleek looking at all. So
a logical conclusion in our chat from Prince Brightstar, who says it'll help with airflow if people try to stack things on top of it. That could be like if you had these units kind of stacked on top of each other, if you're trying to test something like multiplayer.
Yes,
or something,
but I can't imagine that this is the final thing, since I mean that thing is thick. Remember when we were looking at the original Xbox One? And it was, everyone kept comparing it to like a VCR. I mean, this thing is huge. It's super thick. So I don't know.
I think it's just one of those, this is funky because it's not like a VCR looking thing, or it's not a big box. It's a very distinct kind of shape, U shape, where the airflow is all around in that U. And it's a little weird, and I think that image is jarring. And kind of like what you said, what makes this newsworthy is that here we go. We have a Reddit post that basically confirms those, you know, what we saw on the patent site some time ago. So this appears to be the real deal. Now, granted, we know fake news is out there. We know it would be easy to fake these things because I'm almost positive we've had fake system pictures before.
Right.
And people fake them. So you should take this with a grain of salt, as you should everything. But on the other hand, this is a dev kit, and nobody should be putting that much stock in what this thing looks like anyway.
Yeah,
so to
the
go
PlayStation
to fake this is like you're playing yourself.
And the PlayStation 4 dev kit anyways didn't look anything like the PlayStation 4 when it finally launched anyways. So it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to look like this. It would be weird, though, if it is. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
I guess we'll find out later on.
Yeah, we will. And it'll be interesting, too, the repercussions. How did an image like this even get out? Like, you know, we had all those talks with NDAs. And I don't know if you read through the comments, but which I know you're not supposed to do, but oops, I did it. I was doing some investigative journalism. And I went through the comments, and some of the popular theories is that it was possibly a cleaning crew that took the picture, even though cleaning crews would still have to sign NDAs of their own. You know, I was kind of thinking, well, right now it's the holidays and a lot of the usual people probably are not there. So you probably have like other people in and they may have signed NDAs, but maybe they're not as used to seeing this type of stuff or working with this. So I don't know. My tinfoil hat is that you had some type of holiday crew in there. Mm-hmm. That was not as familiar with the ins and outs. So when they saw it, they did something that they should probably know they're not supposed to do, but they haven't been tested with that before. And so that's where we're at. Because, somebody else pointed out, you can, if you were to do some Photoshop fucking around, you'd be able to see the reflection of the person in that TV that's in
maybe
the picture as well. Or at least have a pretty good idea what they look like.
I mean, you can sort of see a shadow of a person, but, like, I don't know if there's enough light to actually do anything with that.
Yeah. Dark Tetsuya says, you know, like the lead up to the Switch reveal. Oh, yeah, there were so many fakes then. Well, remember when the Nintendo Revolution was going to project holograms on your wall? Like, that was the legit story. I remember that was the story we talked about on this show. I still think that was actually kind of a rad concept.
Or the one that Nintendo on that was like supposed to go on your head or something like that as like VR.
And then there was the Xbox Lightroom, but I think that really was a thing.
No, that is a thing. The Lightroom is a thing.
They never did it. They never pushed it.
No, that was actually through Microsoft. That wasn't like a rumor thing. That was a Lumaroom was, remember they were showing
a Lumaroom.
Lightroom, yeah, that's an Adobe product.
Yeah. Well, what better to talk about more rumors? Might as well. Hey, you know what, y'all? It was a slower week because of the holidays. So rumors. And this show isn't just about reporting game news. It's about talking about news. And sometimes these big rumors are the things that people are talking about. especially when you consider the source of this rumor. The source of this rumor is on Twitter, Leaky Pandy, because this particular leaker has been right about other Nintendo Directs in the past. So this is a leaker with a resume, basically. So the tweet says, excuse me, guys, sorry for all the coughing noises and stuff, but things happen. Leaky Pandy says, Nintendo is planning two new Metroid titles that will release in the next two fiscal years, respectively. One is a re-release of Metroid Prime Trilogy HD. The second one is a Super Metroid remake that mimics Samus Returns in style and scope. Well, because I love me some Super Metroid, that second part, I mean, the first part kind of strikes me as a, of course that has to happen at some point. It would be weird for them to come out and announce Metroid Prime 4 when we haven't had a Metroid Prime game to reference in quite some time. And granted, we haven't even had a Metroid game to reference, save for that 3DS relaunch, remake, or whatever, in quite some time. So I kind of feel like Nintendo kind of has to do something to, like, remind us about Metroid or put Metroid back out there and make it current again. So I feel like something, especially like a Metroid Prime HD or whatever remake collection, it's got to be a legit – you know, they're going to want to have something that kind of leads right into 4. So that makes a lot of sense. The part about Super Metroid, that's the part where I go, okay, now that's a little different, though. That part I wasn't expecting.
Yeah.
And although I'm like, you can't touch greatness, at the same time, greatness is already available to play on the Switch. It's in the Super Nintendo library. You can go in and play Super Metroid, assuming you have Nintendo Switch Online, which I imagine many of you do. So it would be weird of them to just, like, re-release Super Metroid if they don't make some pretty significant changes to it. So I think a Super Metroid with changes in the style of, you know, Samus Returns on the 3DS, I think is going to be different enough where I don't think I will necessarily have to have this live in the shadow of the original. I'll be curious what they do with it, if it's true.
Yeah.
You know, and there is that big if that goes with it. What do you guys think?
It'd be cool to see them do, like, kind of what they did with, was it Zero Mission or... You know, something like that, where they had kind of the extended Super Metroid thing.
Oh, yeah. Like, with the more extended end. And really, the map was a little different, too. They made some very subtle changes that kind of changed everything. Yeah. Prince Brightstar in chat says, I have to wonder if that second release might support randomization, which has become pretty popular in the Metroid and Zelda communities. You know, I brought this up last week or the week before about
Metroid Maker.
How I was kind of getting into
those. Someone made one of those once.
Like, randomizer type of things. I would think it would be a beautiful thing for Nintendo to embrace that to an extent. You know, I don't know why Nintendo won't be willing to put their name on it. I mean, I guess they feel it has to be of a certain quality, and sometimes you can get certain seeds that aren't great quality. But I kind of think Nintendo really ought to try chancing it, especially with their classic NES library of just – I mean, sniping a Zelda randomizer, essentially, I mean, it's for their game anyway, and making it their own, where you can generate seeds, play against other people online, do your own speedruns. Like, I'm not sure why Nintendo doesn't try to embrace this a little more. I mean, maybe they just are okay with it happening organically. Because you'll notice, as far as I know, they haven't ceased and desisted in any of the randomizers, right? Which is kind of surprising. They've just, I mean, the randomizers don't, you have to have your own ROM. So, like, the randomizers are in an interesting legal area in that regard. They're not exactly as touchable. But I'm still surprised Nintendo's, like, never tried to go after them. So there must be some benefit they're seeing to it. I don't know. So, anyway, would be very curious to see if this all ends up being true about the Metroid. And, you know, if they really did reboot Metroid Prime 4 earlier this year, then we've still got a couple of years to go before that game is out. So I think if this buys us more time and creates more of an awareness or whatever you want to say.
Maybe on whole another hardware by the time that game comes out.
Maybe. I mean, because it depends if you want to believe there's going to be a Switch Pro or a Switch Plus. Or
isn't
like that
supposed to happen next year, allegedly?
Allegedly. So we'll see. We got Switch Lite. So we've already had the Switch Minus, although some people would say they love the Switch Lite because they do mostly handheld gaming. And it is a nice looking thing, especially if you have like some of the artistic clamshells and stuff. It's a pretty nice looking device. So some people would say the Switch Lite is not necessarily a downgrade, although, you know, from the pure technical perspective of the fact that it doesn't dock, it is. But that's okay. They're charging you less for it. So, all right. Well, moving on. We do have some more news for you guys. Dark Sakura.
Well, no, I will go ahead and before I even go into this, I will preface it saying that Metacritic can be a little bit questionable. You know, it's been used to hurt games. It's been used to hurt people who are fans of games. So with that being said, Metacritic published the 15 highest rated games of 2019 with exclusion of certain ports. So to go from the list, the top two, number one is Resident Evil 2 with a score of 93. Second is Sekiro Shadows Die Twice, followed by Final Fantasy 14 Shadowbringers. Rob, I think you'd be happy with that. Monster Hunter World and Disco Elysium, which I'll be honest, I've never fucking heard of. Have you heard of Disco Elysium?
Yeah.
I haven't. I'd have to see a screenshot. Again, the visual thing, right? That is really cool about Shadowbringers, though.
Yeah, number three.
Yeah.
After that is F1 2019, then Devil May Cry 5, Fire Emblem Three Houses, Slay the Spire, Apex Legend, Asgard's Wrath, Super Mario Maker 2 with a score of 88, Baba Is You, The Legend of Zelda Link's Awakening, and Astral Chain. So, but the top three then being Resident Evil 2, Sekiro, and Final Fantasy 14. Just with Final Fantasy 14 is just seeing how much that game came back from the garbage it was before they fixed the things. I'd say that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, and honestly, the recent expansion is stunning, and you know, a lot of people are missing out. I think, though, Square Enix is in an interesting predicament where they need a better catch-up system, like, so that people can just jump right in to the expansion. I mean, you can buy, like, a potion that lets you story skip and level skip and all this stuff, but, like, I don't know, you shouldn't have to buy that at the same time. They might want to consider giving one away, like they do with World of Warcraft. Or I have heard the developers say they are working on the story problem, but it probably won't, anything won't be in about that until the next expansion, so we'll see. Yeah, and Prince Bright Star says in chat they're redoing the 2.0 story. Yeah, I have heard that they're going to kind of redo that. So we'll see. But anyway, all that aside, Shadowbringers is excellent. Kind of surprised to see it so high with all the other games that have come out this year, honestly. So that is kind of an interesting treat. If, again, you put stock in what Metacritic has to say.
Having the Resident Evil 2 remake, though, at the very top of it just seems a little bit questionable to me. I mean, it's really good. Please don't get me wrong. I think it's very well done. It definitely improves on the original and adds, I think it actually changes some of the dynamics for the characters in the game. But it is a remake, and it is a fairly quick play. So Sekiro has a much higher challenge level, and it's actually about to match, I think, the highest of the Dark Souls games for its overall revenue. But I am pretty happy to see those as the top three. Not super surprised.
Yeah, interesting. Of those three, I don't believe Resident Evil 2 was a Game of the Year nominee, but Sekiro certainly was. And I think
Sekiro was very pretty.
One of you guys said that
one hard as fuck
has a real shot at maybe winning, so we'll see what happens.
I think Sekiro absolutely does have a shot. I mean, it's involved, it's in depth, it's hard as shit, the challenge is real. But it's also got a pretty good story and quite the amazing, like, introductory bit of what's the word I'm thinking of? Bit of the game,
prologue.
Yeah, prologue.
Opening chapter, opening bit.
But I think that it definitely deserves to be on the list.
All right. Let me ask this follow up question: how much stock do you put in what Metacritic has to say? And we'll throw Rotten Tomatoes in that. You know, all those meta review type of sites. I'm asking those in the room and over in our chat room at twitch.tv/VogNetwork.
My view of it is sort of a generic litmus test of what people are going to think. But again, it's been, quote, weaponized as far as damaging certain material that's come out, especially the little incels out there like to use it to damage games with a strong female protagonist or things that try to that might challenge their little male-dominated view on things. We've seen it happen before.
Those are user reviews, though, and I always throw those out, especially on those sites. I do not pay attention. Really?
In
I thought they
cases.
Were just critic scores. Maybe I'm thinking Rotten Tomatoes. I don't know.
But well, some of the other ones out there. So I don't really put the stock in reviews unless it's some, like, if I'm watching, like, say, a webcast that I like something like GameSack. I dude just did a review of Shenmue 3, and I thought that his review sounded pretty good. It was about what I expected of the game, and I've trusted his opinion in regards to Sega and, you know, former Sega franchises and things like that. So I trusted his opinion, but it's getting a generic score when it's going all the way across the board from people who may not necessarily be the gamer that I am. I may look at the score and then go look for reviews, but for most of the case, I'm going to form my own opinion on it. The numbers are, in the end, just numbers. They're not going to speak to my personal enjoyment of something. Granted, I greatly enjoyed Resident Evil 2. It was really, really good. I made Dan take me in my pajamas to Target to go get it, and we had a great time with it. There's other games on that list that I thought were really great, like, you know, Mario Maker 2 and, you know, Link's Awakening, of course, being on that list. But overall, I mean, really, I think that the scores shouldn't be, oh, all these people thought it was great, I should get it too. No. This is why I miss game rentals outside of the Redbox. I miss going to, like, a Blockbuster or something and renting the game and talking to the employees who might have also tried out said game. And just getting, like, an in-person thing. I miss, you know, GameStop is okay for that now. I missed going into some of the stores like that and having those talks with people. I like to see what my friends in the real world thinks. Like, one of my friends, Crystal, you know, there was a game I was super excited about, and they were all, hey, you know, this has just been getting pooped on by this, this, and this, and everyone says this about it. And I'm like, but they're not my opinion. I want to try it and see what I think.
Yeah.
Or people be like, oh, all these people think this movie is crap and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, but I like Xanadu.
Yeah. No, it's kind of like it's kind of like I was joking, or not joking, but talking about the walking simulators earlier. And, like, a lot of people shit on things like Everybody's Gone to the Rapture because
Which
they say
great.
There's not a game there. But I'm like, no, I fucking loved that. Was one of my favorite things I played all year, you know. So
there was a goal to accomplish. What makes that not a game?
Yeah. So there was something I enjoyed there.
Animal Crossing doesn't have a game that you win. There's more to do after you pay off your mortgage.
Right.
So, but what's to say that that's not a game?
Yeah.
You know? What's to say that, you know, reading a book and then playing a narrative game, it's the difference between that you have read something versus the fact that you have observed something?
Let me quickly ask Loki, what is your stock in Metacritic?
I mean, sometimes I'll kind of look at it just to get a general idea of what a game's being reviewed as. So, like, if I see some negative reviews in, like for Death Stranding or something like that where people are just hating on it, I'll kind of look at general consensus to see, is everybody share that opinion? Is only a couple of critics that don't like it? Stuff like that. But usually, like, I have certain people that I will listen to for their critiques on stuff because they have similar tastes than I do. So, I don't know.
I will look at maybe the broad stroke on Metacritic. Like, if something is reviewing particularly strongly or particularly negatively that wasn't what I was expecting or, you know, wasn't on my radar, I might kind of look like, oh, what's this noise all about? And maybe look a little more into that. But I think for some of those reasons, the Dark Soccer kind of outlined that I just jumped on with that, you know, what a critic's perception of the game might not be my own. I think for me, I put much more stock in things like Twitch streams where I can kind of really watch people play the game. YouTube's would be something like that as well. But I like the live nature of Twitch and all that. So, yep. Let's see some comments in our chat. SG100 Matt says, comment sections and game reviews is the reason I stopped reading the comments and game articles. Honestly, are you missing anything, though? No. So good for you stopping. Metal Mayhem says, I never pay attention to Metacritic. If anything, I pay attention to what people on my miscellaneous friends list are playing. Good call. And Bonds 006 says, I don't care one damn what they have to say in reviews. If it's a review about a huge breaking feature of a game, then yeah. Beyond that, eh. So, Yep. All right. Some good thoughts from you guys in our chat room over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork. Meanwhile, let's move on to what's next on our list. Loki.
So, yes, unfortunately, 2K is going to be shutting down, or I should say Gearbox is shutting down Battleborn. So they stopped doing updates quite a while ago, almost 2 years ago. And now, basically, 2K has said, as of January 2021, the Battleborn servers are going to be deactivated.
Cue the cynic in me that says it was still open.
Right. But, you know, one of the things, if you do buy a game like this that is only online, it is now your copy that you have is completely useless. Although, to be fair, it is free to play now, so that's not such a big deal, but still kind of sucks if you did end up purchasing it at one point or another.
Didn't one of these articles or one of the talk about it talk about how, like, what's that Steam website? People use Steam Spy or something like that?
Yes, and I did look at the Steam Spy numbers, and yes, all 12 of you that are playing the game right now.
Oh,
are
you
gonna...
actually have it up right now. So 12 people, even in spite of this news that it's closing soon, that's been everywhere.
It has gone up. So, like, so the average number of players is about 12.6 for the last 30 days, peak being 42 players.
Oh, okay. So, but that's in the world. That's
in the world
in the
at one time, yeah.
That's and by contrast, name and is there any literally any other recognized game that you could give us for context, like versus Battleborn, like Dota? How many people are playing Dota 2?
Let's see. I'm just trying to think. I was gonna say totally accurate battle simulator. No, not battle simulator. Totally accurate battle royale simulator.
Steam Spy won't show you things like Fortnite and you know, Blizzard-based games like Overwatch and things like that. So you have to bring up something like Dota or what about Paladins? Is that on Steam?
Yeah, I think.
Try Paladins. How many people are playing Paladins compared to Battleborn?
Hold on. I was just going to pick this one because this is an indie game and I know it's pretty... No, they don't have it. Okay, let's see Paladins.
We're just trying to get a comparison here. So 42 people at its peak were playing Battleborn this month. All right, we don't know.
I don't like this. Let's just try this. Here we go. So, like, if you want to go down, like, something that, like, for example, Dota 2 would have 314,000 concurrent players.
Yeah.
Okay, here's a much older game. Terraria has 40,000 concurrent
players. Wow, Terraria. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So 42, not that impressive of a number. So that's sad. And again, we're not trying to like kick a horse when it's already down or whatever. I mean, that's unfortunate. And some of you guys are hitting the nail on the head in chat. Tiger Claw says, ever since Overwatch came out, games like that were like it were struggling. Ironically, Paladins, though, seems to still be kicking along. And, you know, since I named that one, and Bobby says, Hi-Rez in Atlanta represent. Yeah, but I've actually played Paladins. It's, you know, it's a similar concept, although they do different things. As you
here, I'm trying to go down the list to get down to, like, some of the lower. Doom, 2,329.
Like, which Doom? The Doom?
The original Doom.
Oh, the original, not even the 2017 remake. Or whatever.
It just says Doom. I don't know if this is the remake one or not, because it doesn't really give me anything. This might be the remake, actually. I can't really tell.
All right. Questbuster says it doesn't help since that Overwatch released a few weeks after Battleborn. No, it certainly doesn't. So all of that certainly comes into play. So
I was trying to find something that was like really ridiculous to compare it to that would just kind of go, hey, see, you know, this game is kind of garbage and I don't know.
All right. Well, moving on, let's talk about Xbox Scarlet and the.
Here you go. I'm sorry. This is the perfect example. Uno has 1,075 players concurrently versus, the 12.
All right. We get the point. We get it. All right. Moving on. Let's talk about what the future might hold for Project Scarlet, which is the name of Xbox's or Microsoft's next system. There was an interview with Games Radar where the head of Xbox Game Studios, a gentleman named Matt Booty, talks about the plans for Scarlet's first-party support, saying, we feel really good heading into 2020. We've got a goal of being able to deliver a game roughly every 3 to 4 months. So that's kind of an interesting, and honestly, is anyone surprised after hearing how many studios?
Yeah, I was going to say, with all those studios, I mean, that's not surprising.
Again, I've been saying this. I've been saying this for like a year and a half, ever since that news came out. Microsoft has been laying the chess pieces under Phil Spencer's direction to not let their next console go like how Xbox One's launch did. And I am really here for it, because I think this type of competition they're going to bring to the table for the next generation of games is going to be really exciting. And I hope to fuck Sony's ready for it. Or we're gonna flip flop again, and this has happened every time, right? When the original Xbox was out, PlayStation 2 was still ahead of it. Then Sony fell on their face with the PlayStation 3 reveal and the $599. Xbox 360 was everywhere, and then it flip flop again. PlayStation 4,
yeah,
just smacked the shit out of Xbox One live on stage with those really, like, frankly, smug commercials that were hilarious, and all that stuff. I really hope Sony does not allow themselves to get crisscrossed again, because Microsoft is setting the table. They are setting the silverware. This is going to be – and now you have to add this whole cloud stuff into it too. Like, even if you're one of those people that's like, I never buy Xbox. Xbox isn't really my thing. You need to wake up and take notice to what's about to happen, because everything that's going to be Xbox is going to impact the PC gaming world too, where maybe you do game. So Microsoft's going to really come out swinging in 2020. I'm adding a little bit of editorial to the real news piece there, sorry, which is Matt Booty from Xbox Game Studios saying a goal of being able to deliver a game roughly every 3 to 4 months. So, obviously, Halo Infinite is going to be one of those, a big launch title. Kind of piggybacking on this a little bit, Cyberpunk 2077, we know that game is coming out in March, but it probably will not make Scarlet or PlayStation 5 right around launch. And that is, according to a new earnings call from CD Projekt Red, they are developing for the new console, but they're not going to be able to release this at launch. It could be a cross-gen title. But they don't want to target anything as soon as holiday 2020. And I suppose that makes sense, because who knows how much time they've actually gotten to play with these new systems or anything like that. So Bonds 006 in chat says, I was saying similar to a few coworkers earlier this evening about Xbox and how it will impact PC gaming. Absolutely. And look, I realize there's many of you out there who don't follow Microsoft because you're like, Halo, not my thing. They don't have a lot of first-party franchises I'm into. And I get it. I've been very much the same way sometimes. But you have to understand, Phil Spencer, ever since he took over, he has been laying this plan out that you're going to notice next year. And if your problem is their first-party titles, well, this is why they acquired all of these new studios, to try to combat that problem. If you don't really want an Xbox because you're kind of like, I'm over buying all these different consoles, well, that's why we're going to have streaming, or we're going to have these features for PC. Like, if you're a gamer, don't sleep on Microsoft. I'm not even saying that as a fanboy. Like, I like all games. I'm excited for this competition and what this next generation is going to bring. Like, 2020, I think, is just going to be an exciting fucking year in that regard, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know, you guys don't really follow Microsoft, but you have to admit, like, there's something to what I'm saying, right?
Yeah, it looks interesting.
They're gonna be, because
I haven't really bought it. I haven't really bought in on, like, a lot of the PlayStation exclusive stuff. So, like, for example, you know, God of War was all right. Death Stranding's okay, but, like, I don't know, like
Horizon's pretty fucking
good.
Last
of Us just doesn't really do anything for me, and same with Uncharted, and I don't know. I even, like, on the Microsoft side, like, not necessarily. I mean, Forza's kind of cool, but I just don't really know. Like, I'm looking at a lot of multi-platform games, and, like, especially,
we know deep down your favorite is Nintendo. It still is, all these years later. We know it's still your fave.
I mean, I guess.
All right. Well, it only took 800 episodes to get that. All right. All joking aside, let's move on. Dark Sakura, you love these types of stories, so I know you want to talk about this tonight.
Yes, I indeed do. Okay, so I'm sure people remember The Legend of Rod Caliber, right? Where we beat Soul Calibur on Dreamcast with fishing rod. So, and of course, we've tried to use our DDR pads to play games and things like that. Well, someone, and this is probably one of the few times I'm going to bring up Halo stuff on purpose, Someone beat Halo 3 on Legendary with the Guitar Hero controller. That is impressive. And I mean, we're talking about, you know, roughly a 10-hour game, but someone went in and did the thing with a Guitar Hero controller.
There is a D-pad on that thing, now that I think about it. Like, you can do it. It's just like, yikes. That's wow, that's hard.
Well, he put a video up on it.
There's no analog sticks.
The username is SuperLewis64. And, yeah, there's a whole video up on
it. I'm sure they have a way.
How he did it. And he's using the strumming and using the standard fret buttons. And he actually put in there his mapping with the fret buttons for how he had everything, you know, what all the buttons were set for. And that the strum bar is for moving forwards or backwards, and then left and right, or action, you know, uses a different modifying aim left, aim right were also set on the end piece. So I'll find the video and link it in chat for everybody.
Sorry, I didn't know there was a video. I would have put it up as B-roll, but that's all right. For our podcast, they're going to want to find it too. So
right, but it's put up by SuperLewis64. I'll go ahead and put it in the chat, and I'll make sure you get a link to it.
That's silly, but fun. Yeah, I wonder if that's because of, like, accessibility things that, you know, you can map anything to anything. So
true, yes. The accessibility controller can do all sorts of crazy stuff with.
So, all right. SSJ100 Matt.
This isn't quite the same, I think, as using the doing Rod Caliber.
SSJ100 Matt in chat says, I remember hosting a party where we played Mortal Kombat on DDR pads back in college. With enough alcohol and drive, anything can be played on a different controller. Oh, yeah, for sure. I thought, didn't we play something silly on the Dreamcast DDR pads at your house? I seem to remember that was a thing. Those Dreamcast DDR pads were so weird, too, because they had that weird, like, plastic layer on top of them. That was kind of funky.
Yeah, it was super funky. I mean, and mine, like, completely separated. So it was like, you know, a Dance Dance Slide Revolution, Fall on Your Face and Die.
Yeah.
But
Boom Boom Dollar, y'all.
Right, fucking Boom Boom Dollar. And I passed, I mean, that's the first place I passed Paranoia was at home.
Yeah.
On the Dreamcast. Mm-hmm. I didn't have this Vivid shit when I was playing DDR. You fucking kids.
All right, let's move on. Loki.
All right, so Valve has taken 1,000 games off of Steam that have been abusing their tools. Mainly, a lot of these games are actually from a specific user on, actually, I think a specific developer or several developers are actually one developer. So what they're doing is, it's this publisher called Degstan Technology. He had 48 games on the platform. And apparently there's some other ones, yeah, they've lost their entire library. But I think a lot of these could be that they're just like they're releasing games, changing, they're kind of abusing the system by just spamming games on there. Like, for example, I've seen some videos before where they're showing some of the games that they have where they'll just kind of change what the character looks like and just republish the game over and over and call it something different, or release a game 4 times on the platform to try to get, you know, Steam card sales, stuff like that. There's a lot of it's made off of the Steam card trading stuff where they, you know, anything that's easy card earnings, people will sell it and they get a portion of that. And they make their money that way, and they give out the keys for free type of thing. But, they said that some of the games, though, that were on there weren't necessarily just put up there for a quick buck. There's a game called Electric Highways that had been on Steam since 2015, had 1,300 positive reviews. So I don't know why that one got banned, but that's kind of weird.
Sometimes when you make a broad stroke like this, you're probably going to catch a few that maybe were more of an on-the-bubble sort of thing. Like, maybe...
Yeah, without looking at, like, the exact games that were banned, maybe that person, like, put up a legit game and maybe start spamming games. I mean, who knows? There's a lot of... They said a handful of partners were abusing some of Steamworks tools. they didn't really specify what exactly they were doing. Or, yeah.
All right. Well, moving on, let's talk about, man, you know, earlier we talked about like Final Fantasy 14 and how that game has really come a long way since the beginning, and now it's on these Metacritic lists and so forth. Well, how about No Man's Sky? This is another one of those games that has managed to really reinvent itself, and yet again, they've put out a pretty major update. It's not a major update, but a pretty big update. The Synthesis update, which includes a new upgrade system that will allow you to go to one of the Starship outfitting terminals to spruce up your spacecraft. So you can upgrade one of your ships all the way up to an S class, and then you can add inventory slots to a spaceship. Hooray, that's good. There's also a new salvaging system the salvaging system's kind of been reworked a little bit, so you can break down ships that you no longer want into actual materials. So that's pretty cool. A lot of quality of life improvements to this as well. Hello Games redid the inventory system, so that's kind of interesting. Now you can just drag and drop things into your inventory, so that's that wasn't there before, so that's pretty cool. And you can do different outfits within the customized menu, so you can switch between outfits, because dress up is a very important part of any multiplayer game. So that's pretty cool. The update is out this week, it already came out, I should say. 300 bugs squashed in Synthesis as well. And, you know, what a turnaround story again for this game. You know, our voiceover guy, Jason, and I were texting a little bit.
I still haven't played it since they've done all these updates. I really need to go back. And I think, if I remember correctly, I did also buy it on PC. So I really need to go back.
And these updates are for VR as well as non-VR.
Yeah, I still haven't played in VR yet either. Yeah.
VR will let you ride creatures and do No Man's Sky photo mode. So that's pretty cool.
Cool.
Yeah. So lots and lots of little changes. They say over 300 bug fixes. And that was all out within this past week, you know. And voiceover guy Jason and I were talking about how does this game kind of continue to make money? Because he was asking me, he's like, do they have a storefront or are they selling like premium currency or something? Nope, they don't. They don't sell any of that. There's no further cost beyond
continuing sales, yeah, I guess. On
games
different
as a service. There's no continuing service besides.
Well, they released it on two more platforms, so PC and Xbox.
Sure, but
so.
That's a big difference from what Anthem's doing to make money, let's
right.
say. The only thing I could come up with is that when they do these big releases, they tend to not put the game on sale. They're still charging full price for the game. But I think full price for No Man's Sky is down to like $30. And you're only paying that full price if you buy it like, you know, right around one of these big patches. Otherwise, you can usually find it during a sale for a lot cheaper. And I don't know, with this being, I didn't really look because I already own the game on all the platforms I want it on. But I would imagine, like, is there a is there a sale going on right now for Black Friday that maybe you can still pick this up cheap? I don't know.
Mm. Well, Cyber Monday.
Yeah, and that too. This whole kind of weekend. I think a lot of websites just kind of put something up for the whole weekend, Friday to Monday.
Yeah, I was actually checking Epic just to see what was there, and actually, Rayman Legends is free right now.
Oh, is that their free? Oh, I didn't even know.
That's a freebie
that.
Right now.
Wow. Nifty 805 in our chat says, I want a baby Yoda sidekick.
It's not Yoda.
So I was going to say, it's not supposed to be Yoda, right?
Well, Yoda's been dead for, like, because this is after Return of the Jedi.
Uh-huh.
And Yoda died in Return of the Jedi.
Uh-huh.
So.
Spoiler. I'm just kidding. I know.
Fucking A. But it's set in between Return of the Jedi and whatever the new Rey movie was. But it's they never did come out and name Yoda species. There was another one in the prequels that was named Rattle, something like that. But they never did mention the name of the species. And for all the people out there, by the way, who were saying that it's biting off of gremlins, first of all, fuckers, Empire Strikes Back came out in 1980 or 81, 80, something like that. Yeah, it came out in 1980. Gremlins came out in 1984.
I actually don't see the Gremlins resemblance at all, besides the pointy ears, which is, you know, Vulcans had pointy ears. Come on.
Well, Dan was like, look at the eyes and everything. Like, it looks like, look at infant humans, how big their eyes are on their faces, right? Look at kittens, how big their eyes are on their faces. It's a thing that happens with babies, and it's roughly a toddler of its species. So stop it with a stupid meme. It makes you look like an idiot.
Bobby Blackwolf in chat said, boomer, okay.
You know what? I'm Gen X all the way, so you can bite my butt.
Nobody did it like Yoda.
I know.
Forget it. All right.
It's a meme. I've seen the meme. Okay. That meme's clever.
All right. Bobby says, it's Baby Yoda until the creators tell me what to call him or her or it.
Yoder.
Nifty 805
says, I'm calling it kiddo.
I know that it's not Yoda, but the internet.
The internet's stupid too.
All right. Questbuster says someone is working on modding Baby Yoda into Battlefront 2. Well, because the internet. Of course they are. Of course they are.
That Beyond Two Souls is $15.
All right. Let's travel back to a simpler time. We're going to travel back to a simpler time in gaming where there was no Baby Yoda. There was simply just Yoda. Once a week, we like to step into the gaming vault and find a game that Darksoccer thinks, hey, you ungrateful brats, you should be checking this game out. But in a 2019 twist, once a month, she likes to spotlight a soundtrack for the month. And I bet you guys have no idea what it is. So I didn't tell you about my fuck up earlier. Do you want to know about my fuck up, Darksoccer?
What's your fuck up?
So do you know how I capture B-roll every week?
Uh-huh.
So what I did is I clicked the button to start recording, and then I went off to take a shower. The only problem is I clicked the button above the one that starts recording, which is the one to start streaming.
Girl.
So anyone who went to my personal channel probably knows what's coming. So sorry about that, but it was an honest mistake. I'm more worried about the fact that I broadcast a game that wasn't really the game and it was somebody else's playthrough. Like, I was like, oh shit, I don't want to get in trouble with Twitch. I know.
Nintendo's going to be sending lawyers after you.
Well, luckily it's not a Nintendo game.
It doesn't matter. They're going to do it anyways.
Luckily, I tried to delete it all and make no trace. It was an honest mistake. I think people understand. So anyway. All right, so I apologize if it was spoiled for you, but what is the classic soundtrack of the month?
I picked Fantasy Zone, but I specifically picked Fantasy Zone for the Sega Mark III. Because, first of all, I fucking love this
game. I'll turn up the sound a little bit here, just for a moment.
Yeah, let's listen for a sec. This sounds almost on par with the arcade, right?
Yeah, it's really good. I'm going to turn this back down so I can hear it.
This is an 8-bit system, so for me to get into this, I'm going to have to get into a little bit about the Sega Mark III. The Sega Mark III is roughly considered the precursor to the Sega Master System, but the Mark III was also marketed as a home computer of sorts. Physically, it looks actually kind of not unlike the Atari home computers of its era. It is an 8-bit system, but it had the plug-in FM music unit. So now built in, it was just a TI SN76489 chip, but you could, like I said, go into and attach the an FM module to boost up that sound quality, and that's what we're listening to here. As far as that FM sound unit on its own, it would plug in. It was its own little box to it. It was sold starting in 1987 for 6,800 yen. And it used a YM2413 FM chip that built above the built-in TI chip, Texas Instruments chip. And so when the Sega Master System hit the Japanese market, that FM sound unit was built into the Japanese version of the Sega Master System. And of course, not all the games released supported this one, but Fantasy Zone sure as fuck did, and Fantasy Zone is great. So, and I've done Fantasy Zone for the classic game of the month, too. It came out in 1986, and then it had an international release after the arcade game. It was the first of its series. And it just, really cute game. The music's happy. I can listen to this music all freaking day. But at any rate, its first port was to the Sega Mark III and the Master System. And then, of course, it got other ports. But the music on this one in particular, and of course with the FM for the Master System, is that it opened up so many more channels. If you listen to the soundtrack from, say, the American release that doesn't have the FM sound, it is kind of dinky sounding. But you get this, and it's on par, like I was saying earlier, with the arcade. And I know I had there's the composer on here. I had that pulled up. So the composer for this is Kawaguchi Hiroshi. who has worked on a lot of games for Sega. And this is actually one of the earlier games he worked on. The first one was called Girl's Garden, and he worked on it with Yuji Naka. He did Hang On, Space Harrier, Alex Kidd, The Lost Stars, Ghost House, Outrun, Enduro Racers, both Afterburners, other things that people would know about, Turbo Outrun, Sword of Vermillion, trying to pick some of the things, Rent-A-Hero, Outrunners, and... he did, like, some other games, too. Like, some... He did Virtual Fighter 3 TV. He did Derby Owners Club Online. Rob, that's one of ours. So he did our horse-whipping game. And he actually...
I fucking miss Derby Owners Club.
Sorry. More recently, going back to our music game roots, worked on My My. In fact, there's some really good remixes of Fantasy Zone music in My My. But, yeah, this really, and I feel like I really missed out not having this as my first home version of Fantasy Zone. My first Fantasy Zone was, I think, the Tengen one, which it wasn't very pretty. I'll go ahead and just tell you that right now. But I can't do our last soundtrack of the month without doing such a classic that had such a beautiful, you know, bright soundtrack for a home release, and also to let people know that while we were sitting here with our dinky-dinky, you know, four channels, our friends in Japan had this. And it's so completely unfair.
All right. There it is.
Now I need to have my own Sega Mark III, just because.
The classic soundtrack of the month, Fantasy Zone, but specifically on the Mark III so that that system can be acknowledged at
indeed.
Some point. Yeah.
And, of course, then the FM... My brain was going to say FM Towns, but I meant the FM-capable Japanese Master System.
Oh, yes. Okay. So.
And I think that there were versions of Fantasy Zone for the Towns.
There was Fantasy Zone on everything. Like you said, somehow a Sega game like Fantasy Zone even ended up on the NES, thanks to the whole, you know, Tengen debacle. So its quality is questionable.
So yeah. I don't actually think it did come out on Towns.
Oh, well then.
Super Fantasy Zone with Sega Mega Drive, which if someone can find me a legit... people in Japan or somewhere in Asia, if you can find me a Super Fantasy Zone for the Mega Drive... I'll bake for you.
Okay.
I will ship it to your country.
All right. Cookies.
So, it can't be a repro. It has to be legit, old school, Super Fantasy Zone for the Mega Drive.
All right, there it is. The classic soundtrack of the month. The final one for the year 2019. So that's it. So
yeah,
We should probably take a walk down memory lane and recap for the year what all the classic soundtracks were. But in the meantime, what's coming up next year in the
pinball?
Oh, that's right, classic pinball.
So I am gonna do things that are. I'm gonna start with the ones that had a DMD.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, it's got the animation on it, not just like. And this actually does exclude one of my favorites, Rob. It excludes Black Knight 2000.
Mm-hmm.
But it's gonna be any of the era of games pre pinball 2000. But starting with some of the with whatever the first ones to have the full DMD is. So if people have suggestions, go ahead and throw them my way, or else you're just going to be getting, you know, World Cup soccer every month. Kidding. But, you know, these, and I'm trying, everyone knows that, like, my freaking favorites are, like, World Cup soccer and Theater of Magic and all that. But I want to go to some of the other ones that might not be as well known.
But on a month, you're feeling last minute, you might see one of those.
Well, and the thing is that there are good games that are pre that DMD era that I think, you know, like Swords of Fury, for example. Go fucking listen to the soundtrack for Swords of Fury. That is phenomenal. It's great. You know, Black Knight 2000 is also good, but I want to get some of those ones that people might have had a chance that they've seen while they were new out in the wild.
All right. Well, stay tuned for 2020 and that segment.
Yeah.
Now, to recap 2019 and the classic 8-bit soundtrack of the month. In January, we had The Guardian Legend, because of course we did. In February, we had Journey to Silius. March, we had Abadox. April, we had Jackal. May, we had Wonder Boy 3, The Dragon's Trap. June, we had R-Type. July, we had Quartet. August, we had Blaster Master. September, we had Akumajo Densetsu. October, we had DuckTales. And November, we had Metal Gear. And closing, specifically the MSX2 Metal Gear. And closing out the year, specifically the Sega Mark III. Because it wouldn't be a Jamie segment if she didn't like, no, no, I want to use this to spotlight the soundtrack and the system. We have Fantasy Zone specifically on the Sega Mark III.
And I honestly think that Fantasy Zone is one of those games that really did just show off the power of the FM unit.
Yeah.
So
if you're a little newer to Orange Lounge Radio, Darksoccer has been screwing with this segment for a couple of years now. We had in 2018 the Classic Peripheral of the Month, and in 2017 it was the Classic Console of the Month. That was the one that kind of started it all. So, and you can visit all of that if you want. If you're curious, has this game ever been picked? Go visit our wiki. It's like it's an unofficial slash official wiki. Unofficial because we don't touch it or edit it, because I literally don't know how. Like, I have to ping Dark Tetsuya on Twitter and say, help. Like, I did that today. I said, help, this is wrong. Can you fix it?
Do the thing.
But also official in the fact that we look at it, and like the reason why that all came up is because Dark Soccer and I were having an offline conversation, and I was like, wait, the wiki's wrong. So we actually look at it.
And
I couldn't tell you what happened on the show last week.
And I kind of like had a feeling I did, but I didn't see it on there. I was like, well, shit, I'll do Duck. No, I've had, if I have
I
a good
tell
idea.
People what happened.
Well, I don't care. I was going to pick DuckTales again.
And I was like, I remember cutting this video like just like weeks ago. Yeah.
But no, and then Rob's like, are you sure? And then we looked at the wiki together, like, we're missing a month.
Yeah.
What the fuck happened?
And then I actually, thanks to the Twitch archive, I looked at episode, and thanks to the sidebar on the side, it made it really easy to find, okay, where's the classic game? Where, aha, here's where DuckTales is in the missing, the episode that's missing from the wiki.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So, but at any rate, you know, and for folks, if you just want to message me on the Twitters, it's at Dark Sakura.
You've been using that more.
I have.
And not
been.
Just for cross-posting.
I have been, but just because Facebook is shit. I finally got my invite to WT.social.
I did too, and I don't
very
like it.
Very live journal-y.
I don't like
I've
it.
I've been trying to use it like live journal.
All right. I'll check out yours, see if I get inspiration, but anyway.
But anyway, so if you've got, you know, that era of pinball, if there's particular games you like, you know, if you really want me to do the getaway, you know, I don't know if I'm going to do the getaway. I don't really care for it. But, you know, send me a message of the pins that you like, and there's a very likely chance that I might say, hey, that is a good one. Let's do it.
Bobby is kind of subtly asking for his page to get updated because it's been about 8 years. Saying the wiki says something about the ferret and Clicky the pen. And wow, that's a joke we haven't referenced in forever. Well, I don't know if you want to remove it, but yeah, you probably want to change the tense to
the
like
ferret,
it was a former joke. It was an old joke.
Ferret's in a box in my house.
But looking up old jokes is part of the reason why the wiki's there. But I support a freshening up. I support renovations on Bobby's profile to make it current.
I remember that Shermie was the best foot warmer ever.
Yes, yes. All right. Let's see. Swang Tong is asking, is Shaking and Crying dead? No. No. But it may change. But I don't want to make any promises that I can't keep. All I can say is that Victoria went on that trip to New York City with me when we went to go see Broadway plays, which doesn't that sound exactly up the alley of what Shaking and Crying is all about? And so we definitely talked about like what we want to do when it comes to podcasting. But while we were there, we kind of came up with a different idea that we were both really into. And then Thanksgiving happened and we got completely derailed because she's been out of town and, you know, I've been busy. So
you and I still had that idea.
I know. Well, and this is the one Victoria and I have is completely different. It's not what you'd think. So we will be exploring that in the near future. That's all I can say. So, yes, Bobby knows what it is, neater, neater. I have to tell Bobby because I'm like, Bobby, I'm going to be inviting all this traffic onto the website that you weren't expecting. Is that okay? And then it's like, what traffic? LOL. Well, you never know. I might have the next big idea. All right.
Anyway. So then you might appreciate what happened a couple weekends ago for a sister Stitch and Bitch session.
Sure, quickly, because we're almost to 8:30.
We did break out into show tunes.
Part B of our show to get to.
We fully broke out into show tunes.
All right, one of these nights I'm going to come to the bar when y'all are there and do that. All right.
It happens.
Yeah, Bobby did approve the idea. It's on me and Victoria. We haven't got up off the ground to do it yet. I think you guys will like it. If you said, Nifty says, that podcast was cute to me. We need to hear you two theater queens geeking out. I think you'll like the idea we have in store. It's a little more free form. I don't know how to explain it without making promises I then be expected to deliver on. All right. So for now, let's go to rapid fire news. Let's travel around quickly and check out some quick headlines from around gaming world. Loki.
All right. So we've got your new free games that you're going to get with your paid subscriptions to Xbox and Microsoft. Starting with, Xbox and Sony, PlayStation. So we're going to have, with the PlayStation side of things, with PlayStation Plus for December, Titanfall 2 and Monster Energy Supercross, the official video game, are going to be your free games. And those are available from December 3rd through January 6th.
Because the Monster Energy subtle plugs in Death Stranding, not very subtle, wasn't enough.
And Titanfall 2 is an excellent game, so go play that.
Titanfall 2
I did buy it a long time ago, still haven't played it, but here it's excellent, and everybody says it's an amazing campaign. So.
It is. I mean, if it wasn't for that, we wouldn't have Apex, so something to think about.
On the Microsoft type of side of things, with Games with Gold, on Xbox One, you're going to get Insane Robots, and then Jurassic World Evolution. And then on the Xbox 360 front, you've got Toy Story 3 and Castlevania Lord of Shadow Mirror of Fate HD.
All right. Some of the early impressions of The Witcher's Netflix series are starting to leak out onto social media. Technically, it's embargoed until December 20th. But I guess some critics who have seen the first few episodes have written some tweets and so forth. One critic said, "I'm quite liking it," in a tweet. "I'll have more to say when the embargo drops." One other one says, "I've never really been thirsty for Henry Cavill. I've seen a screener of the first episode of The Witcher, and I think I'm pregnant." The fight choreography is insane. First fight is beautifully savage. The Witcher's cast, both lead and supporting, are beyond exceptional. Amazing cast all around. So it sounds like there's a lot of actually pretty good feedback on the Witcher series, which, you know, usually shows that are based on a video game don't do so well. But it's not actually based on a video game. It's based on the books that the video game were also based off of. If y'all were starting to type the correction in chat, I know it. And I guess, to be fair, I say that a lot of games haven't made good shows, but the Castlevania anime has been pretty well received from what I understand.
Yeah.
The Ingress anime was mixed.
I could not get into that.
And what else? What other games have had a show that I'm not thinking of in the moment? I feel like there was another big one I'm like neglecting in the moment. Final Fantasy XIV is supposed to get one. I'm really excited about that. Curious how that'll go.
There's actually something else kind of along with show-ish thing is that Animal Crossing New Horizons is getting a manga.
Oh, fun.
Yeah.
I
can talk more about that.
They sort of got Minecraft story mode as like an interactive
thing. Oh, yeah, okay,
thing.
Minecraft. Yeah, sort of. Okay. Anyway, moving on. I did not know this game was getting like an expansion, but it is. Stanley Parable. Remember that
it
game?
It was at E3.
Yeah, it was a few years ago. So
actually, that was this year.
No, the original game.
Right.
It was a few years ago. The expansion was this year. Yeah, the Stanley Parable Ultra Deluxe, a remaster slash expansion that will take the original game and add some new content and new endings. It's been delayed till next year. Womp womp. But at the same time, delays aren't bad news anymore. So if that's what it's not like you don't have the original.
And that was how they prefaced it with like they're reading fan mail and all the fans are like, we want it to be perfect and we don't care if you delay it.
Well, there you go. Challenge accepted. So they've delayed it till next year. And honestly, my plate's been pretty full this year, so a delay to next year is not the end of the world. Dark Soccer, what do you have for rapid fire news?
Capcom is going to be releasing a new game in December, according to some listings for Japanese Game Expo. Gematsu, there's actually a translation from Gematsu that says that the Capcom's Jump Festa 2020 exhibit, they are going to showcase four titles at the event. Two are known to be Mega Man Zero / ZX Legacy Collection and Monster Hunter World Iceborne. It could also be possible that the Devil May Cry Collection could take one of those, but there's one more that's unknown. So we will find out. The fest is going to run between December 1st to 22nd in Chiba.
I don't suppose it's a Dino Crisis HD Collection? No?
Well, one of the other things, though, is that, of course, they are working on a Resident Evil 3 remake to follow the Resident Evil 2 remake. So they're really wanting people to leave some feedback on that one.
Are we going to get a Resident Evil 8? Because 7 was supposed to be pretty good.
I feel like they're kind of stuck in
the fuck out
in the remake thing. And eight, I mean, seven kind of had that whole VR and non-VR stuff going on. So I don't know what they've decided to do with eight at this point. I think it'll happen, but these remakes are serving them pretty well for now.
Rob, it's up to us to take down Umbrella.
I don't want you to end up in a Jamie sandwich.
Right. Anyway, there's going to be an update for Death Stranding to tackle some common requests, including improving the font size. Now, keep in mind, when I was looking at this, I was looking at a really tiny font on a really tiny screen, and I was fine, but not everyone has super Jamie vision when you take off your glasses and everything's huge.
Yeah, if you're sitting next to a monitor, you can probably see it okay, but yeah, it's like, the subtitles are all right. I was like, oh, why are people complaining? But then I saw, like, in the quest menus and stuff, I'm like, okay, damn, that is some tiny-ass text. Wow.
But also, there's going to be another thing that addresses a request to be able to dispose of individual vehicles. So they're looking about patching that in for the mid-December patch. Hold on, I'm just double checking to see if there's anything else.
I don't even have a vehicle yet. I will say where I'm at in the game, and I don't think this is spoilery. Vehicles were in trailers. I have the quest to, because I just got the ability to build like a power source in my structure. So I have a directive to go build one of those next to a bike that's run out of power. It's been sitting there for a while. So for those of you that have played Death Stranding, that's exactly where I'm at in the game.
Well, they did with the last update, had some performance improvements and worked on some network functionality. But yeah, there you go. So that's our current quick stuff.
All right. So let's travel around the world and check out what is coming out this week in world release dates. I imagine it's a pretty slow week, being that the holidays just occurred, but you never know.
Glad you think so.
And you're right. You never know what's right around the corner. In fact, we have several things coming out this week. So we have Blair Witch coming out on PlayStation 4. We have Halo Reach on PC. I believe that's just being added to the Master Chief Collection. Life is Strange Episode 5 on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Neverwinter Nights Enhanced Edition on Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Phoenix Point on PC and Mac. Saga Scarlet Grace Ambitions on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, Android, and iOS. Scaleboy on Nintendo Switch. Terminator Resistance on PC, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Alien Isolation on Nintendo Switch. We have Darksiders Genesis on PC and Stadia. Raging Loop on PC. Star Ocean First Departure R on Nintendo Switch and PlayStation 4. And last but not least, Ancestors The Humankind Odyssey on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One.
All right. So it's still a pretty busy week. I would have thought it would be a dead week, but not really.
It's starting after this week. It'll start to slow down a bit and then really die off at about the second or third week in December.
Fair enough. Well, Japan, since things are a little different, holidays are kind of a different perception over there. It's a very different kind of week. We got some big names out this week in Japan on the PlayStation 4, including Yo-Kai Watch 4 Plus on the PlayStation 4. So that's, you know, a non-handheld release for Yo-Kai Watch. So that's a pretty big deal. I wish that series hadn't kind of disappeared here. I was into it in the beginning, mm-hmm. So I wish they would try a PlayStation 4 or Switch release.
Also something that had a TV show.
Oh, yeah, that's true. All right, so, but anyway.
It's still pretty big over there. Though.
Oh no, it's still huge over there, so I'm not too surprised to hear.
I kind of wanted to sit and watch the anime just because I love the folklore of yokai.
Also out in Japan this week, The Dark Pictures Man of Medan gets its release in Japan this week. They are saying it is an English version. It hasn't been localized for Japan, but that is out if they want to check that out. And then a game called Citadel is out this week as well. And what is arguably the biggest release in Japan this week, no, just kidding, it's definitely Yo-Kai Watch, but you know this one caught my eye, Onichanbara Origin is out on the PlayStation 4 this week. Oh, that's right. If you don't know Onichanbara, you should check it
Bikini
out.
Bikini Samurai.
That's right. It's all the ladies wearing very little clothing.
I really wish more of the Simple 1000 games or 2000 games actually ended up coming out. Aside from just, you know, Earth Defense Force and Onichanbara, I mean, like, they had Ambulance versus Zombies, and that's really the only other one I remember. But more Simple Series games or more games like that.
All right. Well, looking at the Nintendo Switch, of course, Yo-Kai Watch 4++ is out on that system as well. But then we have another couple titles. We have a game called Moto Nupaz Osumatsu-san, which comes out from D3. It looks like it's like just a match 3 type of game, but like there's two different versions of this game and everything. So it's, yeah, simple controls, match 3. I guess there's a story that goes with it. I don't know. It seems like kind of a big deal for a match 3 game. Always a big deal, though, is a Pretty Princess game. That's right. Pretty Princess Magical Coordinate is out this week on the Switch as well, where you get to decorate over 1,300 castle rooms with 1,300 items. You can customize your character and feel like a princess. You can do princess training lessons in mini games, so you can perfect your wave, I'm sure, as a princess.
The decorating thing sounds kind of fun.
And then you can have your princess make poses and take pictures of the finished rooms. How about that? It's a 1-to-4 player game, so I guess you get to decorate together. So there it is. So Japan's still a pretty fun week, right?
See, there's lots of stuff coming out.
That's right. How about Europe?
A decent amount. So on the 2nd, we have Life is Strange 2 for Xbox and PlayStation, Farming Simulator 20 for Switch, Neverwinter Nights Enhanced Edition for the 3. We also have Red Dead Redemption 2 for PC, on December 4th. More on December 4th is Off-Road Racing for the Big 3. On the 5th, we have Dead by Daylight Nightmare Edition. It doesn't say what's coming out on, though. And then also on the 5th, oh yeah, that's right, there's a bunch. Battle Wake for PlayStation, Assassin's Creed The Rebel Collection for Switch, Gang Beasts for Xbox and PlayStation, and last but not least, Narcos Rise of the Cartels for the PlayStation and Xbox. So that's it.
All right. There it is. Release dates from around the world. Still pretty busy this early December, but yeah, probably because we're right in that gap where it's like, okay, now's your last chance to get the game out before the end of the year, before Christmas and all that stuff. So, all right. Well, let's move on. Every week we invite your emails at participate@orangeloungeradio.com, and we like to read some of your emails here on the show. So again, if you want to send us an email for a future week, please do participate@orangeloungeradio.com. And Dark Sakura is going to jump in the mailbag and read some stuff.
Okay, so we have one from Robert M., which is sort of a follow-up from the bunch of other operating system questions, but I will go ahead and read part of this, too. Is citing older versions of Mac and iOS systems from the last time the older games lost support, and Catalina, that is correct, Catalina no longer supports 32-bit applications and games. So, and then he asks, is Super Multitasking plus Ultra, is it 64-bit? YYR?
That would be a YYR question. I don't know.
So please let us know if it's a 64-bit app. The discussion of Half-Life Alyx as Valve's first game in a long time reminded me of the recent forgotten card game Artifact. I assume if it's still being supported, it probably is not going to see as much of an uptick as Magic games are as the Hearthstone alternative. So...
how about that? Like Magic. YYR is in chat. Thank you so much, buddy. Saying it is 64-bit on Mac, 32-bit on Windows. So it's where it needs to be to run. So there you go.
All right. So, yeah, if you're going to play it on a Mac, upgrade. And well, I mean, you can do it on the current OSs. So, yeah. Sorry, brain went around. Okay. And then I got a two-part email from Flacco Jones.
Oh, important footnote from YYR. But future Mac support is up in the air, will be determined over the coming months. I wonder if that has to do with sales. So Mac fans, get on that. Super multitasking. I'm making that up. He didn't say why. I imagine it's probably difficult to...
give me an App Store link and I'll make it fly.
Well, I don't think it's on the App Store yet.
It needs to be in the App Store.
Yeah, I don't know. And there might be a problem with Steam Greenlight and the way that was all put up. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. And the leaderboards are built into the games. That would be a whole undertaking for him. So I can understand why he wants to focus on his expansion first, I'm sure. Anyway.
Hey, I just wanted to pop in with a little correction on your Game Awards talk so that you have the right info on how they work. This is Flacco Jones, by the way. While fans do get a vote in how these awards go, it only accounts for 10% of the vote. The voting jury, composed of 80 media and influencer outlets from around the world, accounts do the other 90% of the vote. So unless the vote is really close, I don't think fans have much of a sway over who actually wins. if they did, I doubt a small game like Overcooked 2 would have beaten all those much more well-known Nintendo games for Best Family Game last year. Also, over half of those outlets are from outside the United States, which makes it less predictable based on how those games are received from our perspective here in the U.S. And the jury isn't entirely made up of critical publications, like I mentioned earlier. If it was just based on critics, Control probably wouldn't have a chance, as it was the lowest Metacritic score of all the Game of the Year nominees. You definitely hit the nail on the head about the ongoing game category, though. It was a big shock that Overwatch wasn't nominated, as it had been for the last 2 years, and it won the category in 2017. I do think Final Fantasy XIV has a shot over Fortnite. Fortnite already won last year, and again, fan vote doesn't really mean anything. I was a little surprised that Blitzchung didn't get a nomination for Best Esports Player. I thought that would have been interesting, but I don't really know how he did outside of the tournament he won, where he spoke out and got suspended. Have a great rest of your stream, Flacco Jones.
Very good There's points. Yeah, no, I'll let you read that in a sec. I just want to say, you know, oops, we got it wrong. Sorry, last week. So thanks for correcting how that all is judged. And he makes a really great analogy in the next email. But I wanted to quickly say on Control and Metacritic and all that, and you mentioned that Final Fantasy XIV has a shot. Since we just talked about Metacritic earlier in the show, it does seem like the barometer may be tilting in Final Fantasy XIV's favor. So the Blitzchung thing, though, I mean, there was a part of me that was like, well, when was the deadline for this? Maybe. But I would have thought, nah, I'm sure that whole incident could have happened before the deadline. So who knows why that didn't end up happening. Perhaps they were nervous about putting that in the spotlight. I don't know. Anyway, let's hear the other email, though, because he makes a great comparison in this email.
Second email, because I forgot to mention one point I wanted to make about the Game Awards. Personally, I find them to be more like the Golden Globes of the game industry, since the winners are determined by a global jury of media and not game makers themselves. I put more stock in who wins at the DICE Awards in February, which are actually voted on by peers who work in game development and publishing. A lot more like the Oscars if we're still comparing it to movie awards. But since they come out later and don't have the media outlets attached, they don't usually get as much buzz. Okay, that's it for the award emails, Flacco Jones.
I just wanted to call out what a great comparison that is when many people are saying that the Game Awards should be the Oscars of gaming in a way. Very interesting to call out, but the way they're voted on, Oscars are voted on by industry peers and people that are, you know, within the film industry and so forth. So really, it's the DICE Awards that are kind of the barometer there, whereas the way this is voted on by media worldwide, that is how the Golden Globes are voted on. Except the Golden Globes doesn't have the fan part of it, but, I mean, still, the comparison, I think, is pretty good what you're getting at there. And Golden Globes was always supposed to be the more informal one, the more party atmosphere, right? The Golden Globes used to be the laughing stock of the film industry. Like, people didn't even want to be seen there, but they really kind of started turning it around. What was it? Probably like the 90s, the late 80s or the 90s. I think a lot of people with the Golden Globes probably remember one of the first big things that contributed to that party atmosphere of the Golden Globes was when Christine Lotti won that award for whatever TV show she was on at the time, but she was in the bathroom. So Robin Williams jumped on stage and just started doing this improv live and was like paging Christine Lotti and stuff. And it was this really funny, because, you know, Robin Williams could pull comedy out of his butt and it was hilarious, right? He was great in that regard. And I think that really made a lot more people start paying attention to the Golden Globes being like the party one. And then then the Golden Globes kind of billed itself as that. And they had Ricky Gervais host those few years, and they loved him for a while because he was so unpredictable and so forth. That was the one that Tina Fey and Amy Poehler hosted, which I don't know why they don't do it every year. They probably turned it down because they have other projects they want to do. But they're hilarious and so forth. So, you know, especially because the Game Awards, I think, are definitely the showier show, whereas the DICE Awards are more the, you know, industry thing. But we just don't really see the DICE Awards. They don't televise that, so it doesn't feel as Oscar-y and so forth. So,
and I'm glad they don't have celebrity hosts doing it, because, like, mm-hmm. I know, like, several years, like, different, not necessarily award shows, but, like, presenters, Joel McHale or even Conan O'Brien.
It has
just
to be,
not,
it has to be the right presenter. Like, for example, I consider Aisha Tyler a yeah. celebrity presenter, but like she knows her shit because she plays Halo and shit in her downtime. Like she knew her games. You know, she was an authentic voice in the celebrities. I say was because I haven't seen her do anything in gaming in a while. But you know, when she would talk about Gears of War on her show or whatever, because she was on The Talk for a while. I don't know if she ever brought it up there, but it's like she knew what she was talking about. She wasn't being told what to say. She knew what she was talking about.
Yeah.
You know? And even though Conan O'Brien makes it funny, I still feel like he kind of really does play games, but his job is to not make it serious.
I still don't think he's funny.
Well, Jimmy Fallon, then, we'll go with that, because he's brought more video game exposure to The Tonight Show, which is always kind of like, I mean, you want to talk about OK Boomer. The Tonight Show is always that show that you kind of associate with like a much different generation. And Jimmy Fallon, love him or hate him, has kind of had this responsibility to try to make this show more accessible to a wider audience. Because let's be real, Jay Leno never did that. And yeah. when Conan O'Brien swung that pendulum too hard in the other direction, he lost his show in 7 months. So Jimmy Fallon's been in this very hard place where he's kind of had to walk the line and make a show that's accessible to the legacy of The Tonight Show, but also one that is going to live on, you know, with newer generations. And he's done that in part by having, what's her name? Captain Marvel playing Beat Saber.
Brie Larson.
Thank you. Brie Larson playing Beat Saber. Was it her? Somebody, one of the Marvel girls was playing Beat Saber with her with him. And, you know, he was one of the first to show the Switch, that GIF or GIF, whatever you want to say, of Miyamoto in the audience where he does that whole like thumbs up thing, that whole GIF of him out there. That was from The Tonight Show, you know. So anyway, I'm sorry. I don't remember where I was going with this, but I was just kind of pointing out like, you know, oh, media and having to embrace games and celebrities and that whole sort of thing. So. Swang Tong says, whatever happened to Conan? He's been on TBS this whole time.
Yeah.
He doesn't need to pull in the same type of numbers on
well,
TBS.
Well, nowadays, like, I don't know how well these, like, late shows are really doing, because most people consume these through clips on YouTube. That's how I do it. I mean, I don't watch any of these guys, but I'll just watch the clips.
I don't think I would ever watch one of these late night live shows. I used to back in the day. I remember watching Johnny Carson in my bedroom. Okay, like I'm dating myself. I know the towards the end of his run, and I was probably 10 or 11.
I used to watch the reruns of Conan O'Brien though, like when they would rerun him during the day.
We used to gather up in the dorm room and watch late night with Conan O'Brien. Like yeah, he was hilarious. Like his target audience. I think I love. Well,
I saw him live. Yeah, I went to his live tour, and it was fantastic.
You went to the one here in SAC, and I went to the one in San Francisco.
Yes, yeah. And I loved it. It was great.
I thought it was funny. I had a great time, but I have to admit, I haven't been following the TBS show as much because I just don't watch a lot of late-night stuff. And you're right. It's all consumed in bits. And honestly, you know who I see more than anybody else? Like the YouTubes I see more than anybody else that I probably watch more than anybody else? Jimmy Kimmel. And I would have never thought that would be the case because Jimmy Kimmel reminds me of The Man Show, which was fucking ridiculous. Mm-hmm. But his late night show, he's got a lot of good viral clips.
I usually watch Late Night with Seth Meyers, or I'll watch the clips also of Stephen Colbert.
I like Samantha Bee and John Oliver.
Yeah, yeah. John Oliver. I usually watch that.
John Oliver makes
HBO
a lot of like good like thinky stuff. What do I want to say about Jimmy Kimmel? Oh, I think the best clip that I saw him do was when he manufactured that viral clip of like the girl twerking on the door and then the door opens and it falls over. And they show that went viral. That was a legit thing that they put on YouTube and it went viral. And then on his show, they revealed that when the door opens, it's Jimmy Kimmel on the other side of the door. And like he kind of showed like we made this clip go viral and this is how we did it. And I just thought it was very interesting. So anyway. And then they brought on the girl that was twerking. It was like a stunt woman or something from motion pictures. So anyway, I just thought it was interesting. So, and Bobby does point out the good thing about Oliver and B is that they're weekly and not nightly. And you do see a lot of shows kind of going that way as a result. I used to love The Daily Show, but I don't – the clips that aren't as great as they used to be. I don't know if I just don't care for the new guy as much as, you know, Jon Stewart or what it is. I don't know. I used to love Letterman back in the day. I think when Letterman first took over at CBS, that was like the heyday of late night television. Anyway, because I always thought Leno was lame. I never cared for him.
Leno's a shithole, but he has a great car collection.
He has a diehard fan base of sorts. I don't I don't get it. Anyway.
He's just not a good person.
I don't think he's funny at all. Like, anyway. But anyway, it's not about late night. It's about being.
I don't think he's funny in the same way I don't think that Rodney Dangerfield was funny.
Hmm.
That whole.
Well, I'm an asshole. What are you going to do? But, yeah. Like, but Bianca Del Rio does that same shtick and it's funny.
Yeah, but Bianca Del Rio is actually smart.
Yeah, I guess that's true. All right, anyway, let's move on. And Joan Rivers did a lot of that same shtick. But
and
she's
smart.
She was a genius. Anyway.
Right.
All right, let's move on.
And full of preservatives.
Let's talk about more Stadia news. I talked about Stadia earlier in the show.
Yes, so Stadia Pro, they have that subscription service, which they're supposed to be giving new games each month. And, you know, we talked about last month how the only game that's really free right now with Stadia Pro was Destiny 2. Well, that's actually going to change because now they've added a few more games for December that are going to be available as well. So those being Tomb Raider and Farming Simulator 19, which are available. But apparently, though, anybody that bought those games now will actually be getting a discount. Because they're not free. I guess you get a discount on those. No, they are free. So they're giving you, I guess, a discount of $10 on Tomb Raider and $50 on Farming Simulator 19, which I'm assuming is just the list price for those. But yeah, so those, I guess, are finally live. And I guess I don't know. They need to do a better job of actually communicating which games are free with Stadia Pro each month. I guess they do have it now where they're showing, you know, the December and I guess, oh, Samurai Showdown was another one that was free as
yeah,
well.
Chat was correcting you on that, but yeah. Sorry. They added Samurai Showdown at like the last minute. It was in there, yeah.
But like, you know, it'd be nice to know like what, like say, for example, January is going to be and stuff like that. Just, I mean, I get it. Like it, you don't really do that necessarily with, you know, like the PlayStation Plus stuff and that. But if you're paying for Stadia Pro, I mean, there's such a small library right now that you would think that they would kind of say, hey.
Oh, shit. I didn't realize. Okay, so here's this is why I said, oh, shit. So I was actually bringing up the Stadia app so Loki could kind of see this firsthand, what it looks like in the app, that they do actually have a section that says Stadia Pro Games is right there. Yeah. So, and these are the ones that are all free. And why I went, oh, shit, is because Tomb Raider and Farming Simulator are already there. Apparently they went free today.
Yeah,
because
so it's December.
But, you know, like PlayStation Plus games aren't live until like the first Thursday in December. It's not always December 1st. So I just, oh, shitted because I'm like, oh, Tomb Raider and Farming Simulator.
Yeah, Farming Simulator. Fuck yes.
You know, actually, I will say that Euro Truck Simulator and those games are actually like in a zen sort of way, like really relaxing and fun. So I'll try for free. Well, yeah, free because Bobby gave me his buddy pass. Thanks, Bobby.
If I can't murder or maim anybody in those games, I'm not really necessarily.
I don't think so. I'm sorry.
I guess
you can murder him in Tomb Raider.
I was going to say, I have to leave all my murdering and mayhem to Tomb Raider.
So, neat. I had no idea that those games were actually out. So, good to know. I'll be checking that out a little later on. I wish I could stream it, but obviously you see the problem. I can't stream while I'm streaming. I guess I could, but it would affect the quality of both, one or the other. But I could record it. And I've thought about doing this. Would you guys even care? What if I recorded like a long play and just debuted it on Twitch during the day on a random night when there's no live VOG programming? What would you think? Would you care about that or would you just be like, eh? Kind of a question for you guys.
Or they may think, I go where I want to go. Rob's going to be like all Wolverine.
Which
on this.
Is fine, but I'm just curious. Like, if I were to record Stadia stuff in
they're
going to
be like, this isn't a pinball game.
Do I have to play pinball?
No, because you accidentally broadcast your footage from the B-roll.
Oh, shut up. All right, moving on. Let's talk about this. I just thought this was, you know, it's a bit of a slower news week, so I thought this was like, oh, interesting. And this has to do with Minecraft, and it has to do with the Vatican. So we have a news article about a priest that is going to be launching a Vatican Minecraft server. And so it's FR. What's FR short for? France? God damn it. What are the...
France?
No. It's the title in the church.
Oh.
Not deacon, not pope, not... What's FR?
Father. Help.
Father. Oh, that's...
Or friar.
That's way too easier than it should have been. Father probably works.
You're saying this to the nun.
I know. Father Robert Balasaire, who is a Jesuit priest who studied engineering in Silicon Valley, is wanting to introduce the Vatican's Minecraft server as a place where players can express themselves in an environment that is not as toxic as maybe other things that you're running into out there. So, like, I guess if you will, a safe space, then you may find in other games. Oh, Pod Culture points out he's from This Week in Tech. I didn't know that. Okay. So this guy's kind of involved with tech stuff before. Huh. Hmm. So cool. The project started on Twitter, and he polled the followers on what game do you want to do a test server, Rust, Ark, Team Fortress 2, or Minecraft. And 64% of the votes went to Minecraft.
Yeah, I don't know if Rust would necessarily be the best choice for that. Don't you hang dong in that game? Yeah, so, like, I don't know if that's...
He took a vote of sorts. So anyway, Father Robert Balasaire says in a quote, Rome reports, it's not about the technology. It's not even really about the gaming. It's about getting people together who can then maybe move those relationships to the real world. At first, there were a lot of people who were very hesitant. Because you see this guy in a collar talking about the latest offerings from Google or how you run fiber optics across the Atlantic. And they didn't understand. They said, wait a minute, these two things don't go together. But after a time, they realized, okay, he knows what he's talking about. He just happens to be a priest. And ultimately, that was the ministry I was trying to do. You know, despite however you might feel about the church, organized religion, and that sort of thing, you have to admire what this guy's trying to do. This is smart. It's funny because we were just talking about, like, late night and having to bridge the generations. And when I don't know about you guys, but when I think about the Vatican, I think about the Pope, I think about a lot of these fathers, these people. You know who I think about? Fucking old people, really old people.
Well, right, and I think what he's doing is a great thing. I'm just worried that this is going to be a beacon for, like, trolls. That just, like, hey, this is a good place to focus our energy, like, and. You know, I think they can accomplish it. It's just it's going to take a whole hell of a lot of moderation.
If he's done this work with This Week in Tech and worked in Silicon Valley before, I think he well knows about that. And the way I've kind of seen this approached before is that, you know, usually if trolls come in, you pray for them. You try to reach out through prayer and that sort of thing. You know, again, I'm not going to speak on behalf of the church. I'm not trying to say this, but I'm just kind of in my experience of watching this, you know, you try to still build a bridge. Even if somebody is a troll, they still took a minute to walk into your church, so to speak. So what are you going to do? You're going to preach at them, right? So he may still be trying to build a bridge, maybe. Again, I don't speak for this guy, but I'm thinking he may be trying to build a bridge with trolls and so forth as well. So who knows? Anyway, I just thought, you know, honestly, it's funny because I was reminded of the movie Sister Act. Mm-hmm. And what's one of the key plot points in Sister Act? You have the old school versus the new school, right? You have Maggie Smith playing, you know, the mother hen or whatever, or mother superior, right, of the nuns, and she wants to do things very old school. She wants everything to be traditional. She wants everything to be very, you know, by the book. I became a nun so I could live this particular life. And then when Whoopi Goldberg comes in, because she's being hidden there by the cops, she has this whole different approach to it, where she brings her lounge club experience into it, where she's like, we could put some butts in these seats if we were to actually, like, modernize what we're doing. And at the end of the day, the priest, in a way, or the deacon of the church or whatever, kind of sides with Whoopi's character, whereas he's still trying to be respectful to the history and what's happening by trying to, you know, be respectful of Maggie Smith's character. So, yes, I just took a gaming story and compared it to Sister Act, but God damn it, it works. Because the plot of that movie was about how they were reaching out and making more people interested in faith and religion by making it accessible.
Yeah.
And doggone it, that's what this guy's trying to do in a way. So, you know, again, say what you want to say about organized religion and all that, but I have to admire this guy's approach. This guy gets it in, I think, a way that a lot of his peers in the church don't. So props to you, dude. Best of luck. I hope it works out for you. I think we all want to create a space sometimes for like-minded individuals, and sometimes that might be like a LGBTQ+ and so forth safe space. That might be a place to talk about religion and so forth, you know? And as long as you're not kicking other people down while you do it, go for it. So, anyway. Bobby Blackwolf in chat. Now that's funny. Bobby Blackwolf in chat with an excellent, like, trollish but genuinely funny comment that says, is he building the bridge with wood or cobblestone? Minecraft. This is about Minecraft. Minecraft joke.
It's cobblestone. It's much more readily available.
All right. Let's take the conversation back to Satan. Dark Sakura, you have a story about a scary thing, right?
Might have been scary. So there is a series of tweets that were going out trying to get the writer and producer Alana Pierce to ask, just basically deliver anything about Silent Hills. That's a quote that we didn't already know, now that it's, you know, never coming out. And so the post reply was, I heard that Silent Hills would require you to sign a waiver before playing because it would somehow interact with your real world self, like by sending you emails or text messages as characters from the game, even when you weren't actively playing.
That is nuts. Can you imagine? And that's totally doable in this, you know, if all you have to do is give that game Facebook access and it'll pull from your Facebook, it can pull your phone number and your email and this type of stuff. And there's going to be people that blindly hit the button and do that. Like, remember, Hideo Kojima made that game, Metal Gear Solid, that did something really like psycho twisted when it would read your memory card.
I see you're a fan of Konami games.
Exactly.
And it would, like, actually it mentioned games like that hadn't come out yet.
Mm-hmm.
So,
or just, you know, it would read like Suikoden, you have a sense of adventure, or things like that. Like, it would read the save files that were on your PS1 card.
I think Suikoden wasn't out yet.
Yeah, something like
and
that.
And so if you played it after Suikoden came out and it read the save file for it, then you get your comment. But yeah, it had a couple games on there that hadn't been out yet.
Yeah. So the fact that Hideo Kojima potentially, if this is to be believed, kind of was taking that to the next level with, like, what else do I inadvertently have access to in this day and age that I could really scare the shit out of someone with? Like, can you imagine you are done with this game? Like, you had to turn the game off because you were too scared. And then you fucking get a text message on your phone that pretends to be one of the characters in the game. I would die. Like, that's awesome, though. That is, like, wow. What would you think if you were suddenly being texted and harassed by characters in the game?
Bitch, I'm at work. Do not disturb. That would be me. Or just reply stop.
Yeah.
Which, if you get marketing text messages, you can reply stop to get removed from them. Just letting y'all know.
Yeah.
But the thing is that, you know, we know Kojima is looking to do another, as he says, the scariest horror game. So maybe we're going to eventually get at least a spiritual sequel to the Silent Hill franchise. I mean, maybe it'll be called like a Quiet Mountain.
It's going to take all the ideas he had for Silent Hills and just put them in a new universe, I'm sure.
And I hope it has Norman Reedus in it.
Maybe.
And his butt.
If he's available.
And his butt.
I wonder if he'll still team up with Guillermo del Toro.
I want this, and I want it to have the fish man in it.
Yeah. People do need to let the Silent
Hill.
The
Shape of Water.
I mean, honestly, if Konami wanted to earn a lot of points, I don't ever see them doing this, but I'm just going to say it. They could just let him have the franchise. And I realize there's been a lot of bad blood between him and Konami, but
Konami's been a shit to him.
A few years have passed at this point, and Konami, you notice, has been slowly trying to turn the wheel in a new direction and get some positive press. And I would say if Konami wanted to get some real positive press, then all they would need to do is just say, hey, look, we will license the Silent Hill to you for a 5% cut, a 10% cut or whatever, and you can make the game you wanted to make or whatever. I think would get a lot of stock back in Konami. But that's to say if Kojima even wanted to do it, because Kojima would have a right to say, no, fuck them, and, you know, make his own thing that had many of the same ideas. And that's he has the right to do that.
There's a really good video about PT and about the things that he was putting references to that when the NDA got lifted that make a lot of sense, like certain numbers that you would see in there, or like the commentary of the fetus in the sink, how it was talking about something. It goes back to how Konami was treating him and, you know, getting pushed out of his positions and whatnot. It was a very interesting theory.
Interesting that the talking baby was a common theme between those two things. Hmm.
Baby doesn't talk.
Oh, I guess
it
that's
just cries.
True. He doesn't talk, does he? Hmm. Okay.
But there are all kinds of ghost babies.
All right. Well, moving on. Just a few more stories for you guys. Then we'll quickly check in on Discord and see if anybody wants to call in for tonight. Over at vognetwork.com/Discord in our green room.
So there was a ROM hack for Fire Emblem called Midnight Sun that was in development but then canceled back in 2017. But now the folks that were behind that have a new game called Path of the Midnight Sun, and it's kind of a spiritual successor to that. It's now more of like a visual novel, but it also has some tactical combat like Fire Emblem in there, and they even have some of the same voice actors from the Fire Emblem series and even Pokemon that are lending their talents to the game itself. And if that sounds like something that you might be interested in, well, they have it up on Kickstarter now, and it's supposed to be out by the end of next year on PC, Mac, and the Switch. So you can go check that out, Path of the Midnight Sun. And it looks interesting. Definitely it reminds me a little bit of Fire Emblem just based on the animation and everything, but...
That's always fascinating when, like, a mod kind of spins off and becomes its own game, because this isn't the first time this has happened. Hello, Dota, right? Why is there no Dota 1? There's only Dota 2, because Dota 1 was a Warcraft 3 mod. So, you know, mods do spin off and become games sometimes. And that's not all. Team Fortress was originally a Quake mod. You know, a lot of that Valve stuff, you know, they acquired big modders and then helped them make their own games. So it's kind of neat. So,
yep.
Yeah. All right. I'll have to check that out at some point, even though I'm not really super into the tactical RPGs, but I think it's kind of a neat thing. Anyway, I'm sure a lot of you guys have been following what's going on in other news and the announcement of the Cybertruck. Did you guys see the unveiling from Elon Musk of the Cybertruck with the shatterproof windows and all that stuff? Anyway, a lot of people commented that, wow, the Cybertruck looks like something I would have seen like in a 90s virtual racing type of game, like a low polygon type of game. And now guess what's happening? That car is being hacked into many different video games, including...
It's so hard, though, to recreate the model of the truck.
GoldenEye 007 is one of the more prominent ones out there, where you can actually have a mod, you know, for your GoldenEye game that will put the Cybertruck into the game, which, let's be real, that truck does kind of look like something out of a James Bond film, so this one makes the most sense. So, yeah, it does kind of look like a Stunt FX or what was it? Hard Driving.
Hard Driving.
Like a car from Hard Driving.
Well, I thought, you know, when Jamie was talking about virtual racing, I'm like, yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, for sure. So that's cute that truck has been hacked into everything. And that's the type of thing that modders do for the lulz. So there you go. All right, we are going to make our way to Discord so we can try to grab some calls tonight. So let's see if we can actually get that call here, because we do have somebody waiting. Hello, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hey, this is Metal Mayhem. How's it going?
Hello, Metal Mayhem, and happy Black Friday shopping weekend to you. I'm sure you are having a great time of it.
Did you know that that's also the name of a pinball? Heavy Metal Mayhem?
Oh.
No, I wasn't aware of that.
I thought for a second there she was talking about Black Friday shopping weekend.
I know, I thought too. I was like, there's like a Black Friday pinball machine? What? I know, black hole. All right, anyway, what's on your mind tonight, buddy?
Well, since you brought it up, oddly enough, that's more or less the topic of my call in a very broad sense. Since it's Black Friday, Cyber Monday weekend, and everyone's on buying gifts either from themselves or for others or what have you, I would like to ask you this. Not just during this weekend, but over the course of 2019, have you bought bought some games for yourselves or for others? During a major sale, did you particularly love the game? Now, the game doesn't necessarily have to have been released this year; just had to be on available during a sale. And
sure, I get what you're going with that. What do you guys think? Is there a game that you've bought in a sale this year that you particularly enjoyed and thought was a good deal? I didn't get Death Stranding on sale. I was hoping it would go on sale this weekend, but it never did. I did buy a music sequencer program on Steam because I was watching some how-to videos on YouTube, and it looked pretty relatively easy to use. And I liked that it made chiptune songs and things of that nature. So I thought, oh, it was relatively cheap. It was probably like $14 for the program and the suit. And I'm sorry, I forget the name in the moment. If I haven't made anything with it yet. So if I do, I will let you know what it was called. Yeah, I thought that would be fun to toy around with. Because, you know, I've been looking for some new musical interludes here at OLR. And I know Jamie has a lead as well. But maybe we want to have other musical interludes as well. So it depends on how difficult it is to use. I used to do music stuff many, 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 many years ago. I don't exactly have a resume. I was in marching band. So I can read sheet music, but that's about, you know, the extent of it. But, yeah, I'll be curious to tinker around with it and see what I can do. So that was one thing I picked up this weekend. As far as like all year in a sale or anything like that. I'll say Horizon Zero Dawn. I picked that up a couple months ago. They were having a pretty deep sale on PlayStation, and I got the entire collection for like $20. And that was one of those series that I wasn't sure if I'd be really into it, but it was a good game. I didn't beat it because I never seem to beat games, but I sunk plenty hours into it, and I enjoyed what I played. It's kind of, you know, that open world action-y type of thing, like Breath of the Wild, Tomb Raider-esque type of thing. Yeah, I enjoyed that. So I would say that was a pleasant surprise that I picked up at a really good deal. I think $20 for that whole package was really good. Anything that comes to mind for you guys?
Not really. I didn't buy anything this sale. The last game I bought was Black Future 88, and still haven't gotten around to playing it yet.
By the way, Horizon Zero Dawn is now down to $15 on this Black Friday sale. So, I mean, if you're looking for something on PlayStation 4, it's a pretty good one. You don't want to pass up. Although, I imagine if you wait long enough, it's going to be a PlayStation Plus game. But
well, I want to say I think Super Beat Zonic was 99 cents at one time.
Oh, it was.
And then I picked that up. So, that's a pretty good deal. Still haven't played it. Because I don't really get access to my Switch anymore. But yeah, that's really it. I buy a lot of weird stuff. I buy a lot of courses in Udemy.
I was disappointed that some of the expansion music for DJ Max Respect weren't on sale, because I didn't realize that game was still doing expansions, because they recently did a crossover with Groove Coaster, and I was interested in picking it up. But the music expansions in that game are pretty pricey, and also, just on a random tangent, I saw a news article that DJ Max Respect is apparently coming to PC later this year, which is exciting, but at the same time, I'm like, it's going to be too much money. They're going to want way too much money for it, so I hope they charge the right price for it, so we'll see. Yeah, Pixel Pocket says, is it really, Rob? Yeah, I saw a news article on that just a few days ago. They just announced it, like, maybe 6 days ago or something, that there's going to be a DJ Max Respect on PC. If you look up, if you go to, like, news.google, where you can search for news trends, just look for DJ Max. It should be one of the top stories that comes up, so you can read. They haven't said a lot about it. Like, we don't – it's Steam. It's going to be on Steam. That's all we know. But there's no page on Steam for it yet or anything like that. So we're getting some answers from our chat. Questbuster says Valkyrie Chronicles 4 for the PS4 is just $20. Really fun strategy game. So there you go. Darksoccer, anything that comes to mind for you? I don't know if there's been any fun deals that you've jumped in on.
Not really.
Yeah.
I mean, I've just been basically grabbing free stuff and waiting for Detroit to come out.
Oh, yeah.
But other than that, like, I don't have any real games coming out that I want to play until Animal Crossing. Okay. So I haven't really been deal hunting. I've more been looking on the practical side of gifts.
All right. Anything else you have for us tonight, Metal Mayhem?
No, that'll be it. Okay. I'll try to clear up the line because I can see two other people that want to call in.
Yeah,
have a nice night.
Yeah, you too. Thanks so much for the call. Yeah, I definitely want to squeeze some other calls in. But thank you, buddy. Take care. All right, let's get to some more calls here. I'll go to this one next. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hi, it's YYR.
Hello, my friend YYR. How are you?
Oh, pretty good. How you doing?
I am great. What's on your mind tonight? I'm trying to get you and the next caller in here so we can wrap up. So not to rush you, but maybe a little. What's up?
No, I won't take up too much of your time. I just first off want to say, you know, congrats on 800, et cetera, et cetera.
Appreciate that, my friend.
if you guys still have fun doing this in a little over 2 years, we'll be back to say congrats on 900. But I digress. I did want to mention something, follow up to Robert M's email earlier about the macOS support. Basically, what's happened is Apple is trying to raise the security of macOS. I'm not sure if it's just because they want to protect their users from any and all avenues that malware could get in, or if they're just looking at iPhone and iPad and saying, well, we get a 30% cut of everything they sell on there. Why not macOS too? But for whatever reason, they have a new thing called notarization. And starting with this new version of macOS that came out recently in October, all new apps have to be notarized, which is a process you have to do directly with Apple. Otherwise, they will not run. Now, the thing is, they temporarily relaxed these restrictions until this coming January. And one thing we noticed is that, you know, developing a Mac game and running it through Steam, it doesn't seem to go through some of the restrictive checks that other, you know, applications do, like if you had just distributed it, say, on your website. So for all I know, in January, my two games are going to stop working if you have the latest version of the operating system. I have no idea. Apple isn't saying anything. Valve has no clue either. So I, yes, I know how to notarize. I see Dark Sakura put the link in chat. But here's the kicker. If you want to be able to notarize your app, you have to have an active developer account with Apple, which means $99 a year.
Yeah.
I can tell you right now, there is no, I am not making $99 a year on my Mac stuff.
You have you have a baby to consider in that stuff. So you gotta, you know, all those costs certainly add up. Well,
there
for
are
what
a
it's
lot
worth,
of Mac developers who are just not happy about this.
For what it's worth, the show computer is running Catalina, so I'm happy to test for you on January 1st what happens, for what it's worth. But what's cool, interesting is that I think we've run into a similar error. I'm not sure if it has to do with security, but like OBS has some issues. Mm-hmm. I have to launch it from terminal in order to be able to get it to work.
Oh, weird.
And there still is not a workaround on OBS's front. So I don't know what is going on. So thank you for some of that insight. I mean, I can certainly get where, you know, Apple has a reputation of being a safe platform where, PCs are usually the ones that get targeted by like viruses, Trojans, et cetera, and so forth. So, you know, Apple wants to kind of protect that because I think we've been hearing in the past year, we hear of it happening a little more on the Mac platform. Still not, you know, the same ratio as PC. We've been hearing about it more. So I think Apple may have kind of really clamped down on that in an effort to stay kind of that pristine, clean little platform that it is. But unfortunately, some more of this independent stuff is getting a little bit left out in the cold as a result. So fingers crossed that it'll work.
I'm messaging you on Facebook about something.
So
okay, I'll make sure to log into Facebook then.
Okay. Yeah. yeah. That's why she's got to tell you. All right.
But yeah, I'm you're going to see probably over the next few months a lot of independent developers drop support for Mac, unfortunately, simply because, you know, they don't want to have to maintain an active subscription. But I could be wrong, but we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. It'll be interesting to see what develops. But I did not realize January was as soon as that was happening. So that's less than a month away. So could be interesting.
And I don't know if it's January 1st, January 30th. Nobody's saying anything. So we'll just figure it out.
All right. We'll keep an eye on it. Well, thank you for the follow-up, YYR, and appreciate, again, everything you've done. You've literally made our dreams come true over the years. So we just want you to know how much you're appreciated, and you're a big part of how we got this far. So thank you so much, my friend.
I don't know if I would have gotten this far without you guys either. So thanks for that, and have a great week.
We help each other out. Take care, my friend. Bye-bye.
See you later.
All right, let's try to get in one more call here before we call it a night. Hi, you're on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hey, what's going on, everybody? It is Rama.
It is good to hear from you, Rama, but I'm going to have us keep it quick tonight. What's on your mind?
First off, I want to say happy 800.
Thank you, my friend.
To also touch back on reference to Jimmy Fallon, I can say I have seen some of the tech that they talk about on the show. That's most I can really say.
Okay.
Meaning, you know, stuff they bring in, like newer tech and gaming and so forth. Let's just say I've been in areas where, you know, they put stuff that they had on the show up in store. I've seen some of it. So, yeah.
All right. Good to know. You probably have observed a lot of interesting things over the year, but we'll leave it at that.
Cool. And lastly, I have a Switch.
I'm sorry, say that again. Mr. Smush was trying to be heard over you.
I have a Switch.
Oh, congratulations. Oh, of course, yes, because I got the friend request on the Switch. And of course, you picked Luigi as your icon. Thank you. Yeah, congratulations. What are you playing on it?
Right now, Mario Kart 8. I picked up Starlink because it was like $10. And I also picked up a collection of mana.
Those are some really good choices because you have a little bit of old school, you have a little bit of deep discounts, and you have some new school in there as well.
I also picked up Link's Awakening. I forgot. Yeah.
Did anything in particular finally sway you into the Switch? Like, now, was it the free game of Mario Kart that finally got you in, or what swayed you?
From E3, seeing a collection of mana, because one of the games, Secret of Mana, got me through a real rough time in my teenage years, which is part of the reason why I picked up a SNES Classic. But this, along with Link's Awakening, which was one of my personal favorite Zelda games, so I'm just like, God damn it, Nintendo, here's my money.
Have you touched Trials of Mana or Second Densetsu 3 yet?
I have not.
Be sure to get in on that. I was very pleasantly surprised with that. I need, again, on my list of games I need to finish, but I did a pretty good, decent amount of streaming, like probably a good 4 or 5 hours into that game, and it was great. I had a good time. I'm looking forward to the little redo. I hope they learn some things from the Secret of Mana redo.
Same here, but unfortunately, I can't play the game. I can't play my Switch as much because when I was coming back from Mako Challenge, I accidentally left my charger behind.
Oh, no. Well, the good news is it's universal. Like, for once, Nintendo's using, like, universal stuff. So as long as you have, like, a USB-C cable, I think it is, you can charge it with, like, anything. So,
you should say that because I'm doing that right now. And according to my Switch, it's not enough power. So I guess I have to go out and get another adapter. So we will see.
Damn. Well, best of luck to you. I hope you're able to find the magic thing that gets a charge. Yeah, it probably needs to put out a certain amount of voltage that maybe whatever you're using isn't doing.
But then again, I also picked up another tablet while I was out. I got myself the 8-gig Surface Go, which has a Surface charger and also charges by USB-C. So I do have to pick up another charger. So,
well, there you go. So maybe that'll work. So just make sure it's a... Yeah, if you're trying to do it like through a computer or through a plate, it probably won't be enough voltage to do it. But I bet if you get a pretty decent brick that can really pump some voltage through it, I bet it'll work.
That's what I'm thinking. So, you know, for the time being, I'm just letting it be until Mako-chan ships it to me, you know, so I can, because I am enjoying it. I can see the difference between playing on a small screen and a large screen, which I enjoy, but at the same time, I'm kind of disappointed, so.
Oh, Bobby also with an excellent suggestion, suggesting a bypass the dock. The dock is going to require a higher voltage than just the system itself. So if you plug directly into the system, you might be able to get away with it on whatever you're using now.
Yeah, but you know, but I will have to use the regular charger so I can actually play it on the TV. So,
of course. Understandable. Yeah. All right, my friend, I'm going to let you go so we can wrap up. But thank you so much for the call.
Hey, no problem. Y'all take care and stay awesome.
Take care, my friend. Bye.
Bye.
All right. So I think with that, we're through everything in the Discord channel. So thank you. Lots of calls tonight. Thank you so much for that. We do want to start to move to wrap up here, though, since it is close to 9:30. I do have to ask if there's any last minute stories, just because I don't want to leave anything out. All right. Yes,
I have a couple things. So the first one being that a company, Beat Games, who is the developer of Beat Saber.
I think this news broke during the show last week, I feel like. Yeah. But maybe not. I thought it was a thing that broke during the show, but go ahead.
They were acquired by Facebook. Yep. So now if you want to get that Beat Saber action, you're going to have to do it through Oculus, I guess.
Well, they're going to – no, because I remember talking about they're going to continue to support all the platforms that are out there now, so they're not going to like pull it from
Beat
PlayStation.
Beat Saber 2, whatever.
Yeah, but if there's a Beat Saber 2 or, you know, who knows. But, you know, Minecraft is a Microsoft product, and it runs great on Nintendo. There's still a PlayStation 4 version.
Yeah, so but Microsoft versus Facebook. trust fair. Companies.
I'm not the biggest Facebook fan, but let's wait until something actually happens before we say doomsday.
And then in acquisition news as well, we have Slightly Mad Studios, the developers of Project Cars, being acquired by Codemasters, which, you know, Codemasters has a lot of their own driving franchises, so I guess that kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
That's it.
Money, money, money. All right. So that's it for Last Minute Stories. So it brings our show just about to a close. We're going to go around and get everybody's final thoughts. But again, here on this 800th episode of our show, just want to thank you guys for being here. Whether it's live, whether it's on the podcast, you know, you guys really make up this show and keep us going. So I really can't thank you enough. Thank you for your participation. And, you know, it's funny because YYR said on that call, if we do this for 2 more years, we'll be celebrating 900. And I'm thinking in the back of my head, if we do it for 4 more years... we'll get to 1,000.
We should do it.
Wouldn't that be something? We'll try.
Hey, Guinness.
We'll try. Yeah, hey, Guinness.
If, do the thing and then
you know
send
what?
Me
if
some
we
beer.
Get to 1,000, I'll fucking call Guinness. But see,
I'll do it before that.
Well, here's the thing. There's other shows that have hit 1,000 episodes, but they do more than one a week. Like, I can think of a couple podcasts that, like, during E3 week, they'll release, like, 20 episodes.
But we've been around longer than everybody.
That is still, yeah, that's still going regularly, weekly, yes. I think there is a show that did something, then stopped for a long time, then came back. But
that shouldn't count.
I'm not counting that. We're the longest continuously weekly show without a major break. So, all right. Anyhow. Yeah, Dark Disease says 2022 is 20 years. Yeah, that would be... That'd be about 3 years. I mean, it doesn't line up. You would think, oh, there's about 50, give or take, weeks in a year. Shouldn't you be on episode? It would be, what, like 850 by now? But just, you know, shit happens. Like, we miss 2 weeks here and there. We go on vacation. Things happen, you know, so we don't. But most of your shows out there, like, you know, if you're watching things on Netflix, what, you get like 10 episodes of Stranger Things a year? And even regular series shows, you get, what, like 26 episodes maybe?
Yeah, I might have to wait until 2020 for the end of The Good Place, damn it.
Oh, did they go on a break? I'm still having to catch up on season 3. I'm really behind.
Oh, really, you're on behind. Season 3? Oh, yeah.
So Swang Tong says VGN is just as long-running as you, but they all go on hiatus a lot. No disrespect to those hardworking fellows over there, but as you pointed out, they do go on hiatus a lot. So I think they went like a year at least with a break. Also, we did start on Live365 just before I think they got started in 03 or 04. Our first episode was June of 2002. Again, I mean no disrespect, and I think everything that they've accomplished should be celebrated as well. It is not easy to keep your show going 1 year, let alone 17. So, anyway. Bobby Blackwell says they claim to be the oldest video game podcast. Well, unfortunately, that is – I want to see the receipts. Show me an episode that you did before June of 2002 that was branded that same way, because I don't think it exists. Sorry. And again, even if it did, as been pointing out, there's been a lot of long breaks. So, all right. And also, sorry, again, I'm going to sound like I'm being rude, and I'm really not, but I do believe at one point the name of that show was changed because they weren't about video games for a while. So just have to say that. Sorry. Anyway. Let's see. Did I get to final thoughts? No, I was ramping up and saying thanks for all that stuff and all that good stuff. So let's go around and get everybody's final thought. Dark Sakura, we'll start with you. I know you've been under the weather and not feeling it as the show's been going on. So thanks for persevering.
Thanks.
You have a final thought tonight?
I'm going to go to Brookfield's and get my favorite soup, which is the Avgo Lemono. It's like Greek penicillin.
Yeah, it's really
good. I'm going to get 2 containers of it. I'm going to take that shit home. And I'm going to stay home from work tomorrow and fall into a coma and do nothing but sleep and eat soup.
I hope they're still open.
They open till 10.
Ooh, better get over there. All right.
Oh, shit. I'm not going to have time.
Yeah, it's almost 9:30. Yeah.
All right. Well, then I'll be going to Whitey Tofu House.
All right. and then let's see. My final thought tonight, you know, I'm just in a very thankful mood. So thank you, everybody who's supported us through the years and so forth. And yeah, I played a lot of video games this week. I even beat one, and I am fucking proud of that accomplishment. So I'm going to keep on trucking through Death Stranding and who knows whatever else I decide to get into this week. Last but not least, Loki, your final thought.
I'm just going to be working more on my game, and that's it.
All right, good luck. I hope we really do get to see something with that. So that's going to do it for another week here at Orange Lounge Radio for the 800th time. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we'll see you next time. We'll do this all again, 8:01 next week. Bye, everyone. Good night.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or Vogue Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.